Welcome to the April board meeting. We'll go ahead and get started. First item of business is to approve the meeting minutes of last meeting, which I will pass around. There's some copies there. Go through. We kind of had a disconnect on getting these done, mostly due to my fault.
Do you have an agenda?
Yes, I do. However, I officially resigned from ever being the meeting minute taker again.
Do you know who ended up in the recorder last time? Does anybody remember?
I know you put in a little glasses.
No, we left them out there. The recorders, because
I got the big one.
Jody Akers was there with hers, and she took hers, and we turned off the others and put them in the little glass place, and put it in the box with the.
Then I must have it somewhere. I couldn't find it when I left.
Well, as long as we're getting this recorded here.
I thought it was in the box of the big recorder, and I couldn't find it.
It should be, but it's in that eyeglass.
Right.
Case.
Yeah.
I
have one at my house.
I need an agenda to take minutes on.
I would also like to suggest maybe in the future, Linda, you could prepare our agendas and send them out a week in advance for people to add items on to.
Okay.
If that would be, then it'll probably be easier for you to take many meeting minutes and incorporate them in as well.
You misspelled polywog.
Yeah, you really gotta love a guy who, pretty are Harry trying to get something done. I actually went on the internet to check that word.
Maybe it is, and I didn't
know
it.
It had a couple of different spellings. Yeah.
Actually, I guess the question is, you know what he was talking about. You know he meant polywog.
Yeah. That's like Scootum Pop. We've got three correct spellings.
Right.
Depending on who you go with.
Life is good.
Okay.
Do we anticipate more attending to have a quorum?
I know Dave Turley said he was going to be here.
There was somebody that went to the Holiday Inn before I got to them to tell them that the meeting place was changed, and she didn't know where it would be.
Probably Dave.
She said she'd be here.
Yeah, the only one that I didn't expect, John Harris, the only, and Ed says he couldn't, so.
Right, so that's the only mystery. But I'm sure Dave knows where the office is, so I assume he'll come.
I think she said it was a he.
Was this just recently?
About 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, at least 10 minutes ago. So it can't be that far. I mean, you can get anywhere in this town in 10 minutes, can't you?
Walking.
Yeah. That's one thing I like about it.
Hey, so I cut a couple notches out of those posts where that sign is.
Hey, Dave, just checking to see if you're kind of the ERA office for the board meeting at 1.
Keep the hoses up off the ground.
At the fuel station, or the water station?
Yeah.
And then just real quick, like Tuesday, I'm going to put a sign there and a chlorinating bottle. And I have that backflow preventer on there just in case.
For your inspection? So can he still do the inspection without the tank online?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was
The big thing, and I talked to Terry from the Rural Water. He said, call him back and tell him you can't do it. Your system's not even online. We're still on off-season.
Right.
He can, legally come out and do it, but I think the water system is...
Just letting you know we've already started on the board meeting
down
here at the ERA office.
You know what I mean? He can open it up and say, dock us 50 points because there's chips and rust and whatever else, but because it's online.
Right.
And
Yeah, that's what I didn't know whether it was best. And he's been communicating with you, which is
right.
You know, because he first called and emailed me, and I didn't know.
Well, and then
do I?
Told
let's kind of try to keep with Jenna if we can.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I think they look good. I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes out of April 9th.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Financial reports, Linda, you want to go over those?
However, we don't have a quorum. We can't proceed.
John is coming. Dave's coming. So that's why I say let's do some of the things that we don't.
Here is your aging reports. There's a couple of extra copies in case you need them.
I'd like Dave to be here when we discuss all the water stuff if possible, so I'll go over it twice.
Okay.
And on the finances, your reports should be there in front of you. This shows that State Bank has $81,000 in the bank, and the caretaker's account has $1,037. I did this report a couple of days ago. There's now $85,000 in the main account. If you look at the next report, it shows that capital on the money, that reflects all the money that's been changed over to this year now at your request. So the assessments that came in December are reflected in these amounts at the top of the other page.
Great.
So. And they're split up by capital improvement and the other. So
we've received $50,000 out of the $77,000 anticipated.
Uh-huh.
So that's
uh-huh.
about where we would have guessed. And
received $87,000 so far this year.
So let's kind of keep going down through the. We've made a lot of headway, I think, in collecting some of the back assessments. We'll go over some of those in detail in the executive session at the end. But I think we're making great headway there. Income year to date, $95,000 out of our $164,000 that we anticipate to get. So, with the majority of that shortfall being some assessments that still need to come in and our grazing, livestock, and reservation fees. So, I think we look great there so far.
Reservation fees are up to date. I did receive a few checks here that would be on your aging report that should be taken off, but they're nothing big. They're just ones that are a month old.
Where have we gotten an additional $1,500 over our budget on interest income? Is that just from money being in the bank?
No, it wouldn't be money in the bank. I wish we made that kind of interest. I would have to look that up.
Okay. I was just curious.
Where are you looking at?
Right above the $95,008.
Oh.
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
We've gotten $1,800 year-to-date in interest. I didn't, you know, not only accounts.
Well, I think that interest is the late fees.
Is that late fee of assessment interest? Okay.
That's
on
that one
because we did collect, you know, several.
So that would make sense then, right?
Right. But, you know, I don't know if we want, you know, because if we do earn an account.
We should. In theory, split interest income should be like bank income and
right.
so forth. And we should have another line item for, you know.
Past due penalty and interest
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, penalty fees. We probably don't need to make a change this year because of how you've set them all up. But
well, that's just what when I got that machine classified
yeah.
on that particular item.
Interest income
that
is.
It should not be finance charges.
Right. So going down on the expense items, so auto expense, we're doing great so far. Cabin maintenance, we've got some of these budget questions, Brent, you asked about, we can hopefully address as we kind of go down through this. Gasoline, 121 so far out of our 4,000. And headquarters area, we've used about a third of our budget. Laundry, about a third of our budget already, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, but she kind of did a major, a lot of stuff that was left over from last year.
Right, yeah, all the comforters and that kind of stuff that need to be done right before the season gets started.
Cell phone, tools, tractor repairs. So we had, I think we have a bill now that will pretty well...
Well, I think that is the bill.
Yeah, that is the bill, right. So
we're spent, but at least we didn't end up being $6,000 into a new clutch and everything we were afraid of. So
we're good there. Cleaning labor, Friday night cookouts, and any questions on the first page?
Nope.
Second page. In the general and administrative, I don't see.
I'm not even sure where to put the.
In here.
The help that we've received on QuickBooks, so I put that under administrative management. And so that is a little larger than it should be. Where would you suggest that be put?
I'd make our own category. Yeah, it should be under G&A, but we would just probably call that. Accounting fees, and just kind of.
I have an accounting fee that we have Mr. Willis on. Do you want me to put it in the same place?
Yeah. Hi. I think that would be fine.
Okay.
So we're looking good there. Welcome, Shauna. Now we have a quorum.
Okay.
Can you validate our vote of approving the meeting minutes?
Yes.
So we have a full quorum approval?
Yes, if you go through that, I agree with you.
Livestock and agriculture, no expenses so far. Projects, question I see here in projects is why isn't the budgets in here?
That's basically
it. Oh, on all the projects?
Yeah. Do you know why that is, Linda?
Ask me again. What was it?
In the projects area, there should have been some budget items for those.
Budget item? Oh.
It's not on there. I don't know why. So, yeah, we're missing all of those.
Hello.
And when we look at our budget, the total at the bottom obviously is way off. As a result, and
it's not because of the age.
So that's got to be double checked and entered,
right?
It's not on
the
website. I don't know
when. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Project.
You can pull up on the website. Linda, do you have internet access? And isn't our budget on the website?
Yes, it is.
Why don't you pull it up there and see what the numbers are? Yeah, so we can. Because I know Brent has some questions about we need to make some decisions on some of those.
Water tank and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even see some of the categories on this.
Yeah, water tank's not even on there.
Well, it was under...
It's under water,
yeah. Yeah, water storage tanks down under water resources. So as near as I can tell, everything looks probably okay except the projects. section is all blank. And I know the question you had was under road maintenance. We had like a $10,000 item in there, right?
Right.
Maybe we adjusted some, and I don't even see that category on here right off.
Well, I think that it was that contract service that we were talking 10 or whatever and cut back to 5 to have somebody help run the, you know, operate the grader.
You've got five budgeted right there.
Yeah, I think that that's what we're...
I don't remember cutting it back to 5, though.
Yeah, see, I thought we cut it back to 10.
Right.
We put in 12, and then we took. In fact, it was your suggestion. We take two of that 2,000 and put it into the leaf spring development,
mm-hmm.
and then that left us with 10.
Leaf spring was not
because we hadn't budgeted anything for leaf spring.
Did you find on the internet?
I'm getting there.
Okay, we'll kind of go back to that while she's looking that up. So let's move on to. Item number 4, update on water issues. Leaf spring development, I think, still on hold till we can get in there. I assume there's still plenty of snow there.
Actually, leaf spring is kind of drying out.
It's yeah,
it's section right before there that's a quagmire.
Yeah, you're not driving over there by any means.
I tried getting up to Larry graded the snow up to the ponds. And right at the ponds going up to get up to the cabins is a 4-foot snow drift that is kind of frustrating because I need to get up there. I think this next week I'm going to snowshoe up, cap off the line so I can fill that spring tank. But about as far as I'm going to go.
Okay. Back to Linda. Mm-hmm. Did you find the budgets?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you all walk us through the items on those?
The barn restoration is $5,000.
Okay.
Contract labor and that's not on here for projects. Findlay Cabin is $2,000.
Okay.
Headquarters improvement is $5,000.
Okay.
Pavilions is $4,000. Pavilions is $4,000.
Okay.
RV camping, $2,000. You also have, oh, here, contract labor is $10,000. Sorry, it's at the bottom on the website.
That's how the work Larry's doing or did, right?
Contract labor is $10,000.
Yeah.
And those are the items on here. We have on here also something that was suggested, cabin lot solar systems. We decided not to do anything with that this year. It has a zero balance on that.
Speaking of contract services, is it possible to cut Larry a check today?
Larry Meltzer?
Oh, Clarkson.
Clarkson, I have a checkbook for
you. I think the work that he's done grading the snow is going to save. I mean, there's still a lot of snow up there, but him grading that and the work that...
Yeah, it's in the budget. It's... A check we can, all right.
Yeah, we just need to work out whether we're doing a set amount or he's going to turn in some invoices. So
I don't want to happen. I don't want it to be end of summer and say, well, I've done this. I'd like to kind of stay current on, you know, what he's done. And if he can, just on a monthly basis during our meeting, hey, this is what I've done. And instead of just kind of a big check at the end.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I don't know how much time he's got, but, you know, a couple hours of plowing that snow is beneficial for the ranch. I mean, it'll save the roads in the end, having that snow gone.
Okay, so that adds up to $28,000, which is within $1,800 of where we should have been.
We also put on the budget $750 for grills, but we decided not to do that, didn't we?
I thought we did.
Let me throw that at you real quick.
I thought
so.
That was
right now it's propane. You turn propane on, you click a button, or throw
it. I thought we said to go to the charcoal grill.
If you go to a charcoal grill, people light it, they they catch it on fire, they cook their dinner. Now there's hot coals that are sitting there. Nine times out of ten, the people will just let it die out and leave them. They might end up throwing the coals in somewhere else, which could cause a fire and that whole issue. I like the propane idea. If, you know, they come and buy propane, we can supply the grill, but as far as supplying the propane, we were going to supply the grill for the charcoal, but then supply them the charcoal. So there's really no difference except, you know, if they want to.
I see a problem only with that because you've got a little grill there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go buy charcoal. Just put the wood in the grill and burn it. I mean, I guess it's safer than building a bonfire.
Yeah.
But you still got the ash problem.
Still have the ash problem.
With the propane.
Propane, you shut it off.
You can do it when there's illegal to have a fire.
I think, yeah, the only way to do propane, though, would be to check out a 5-gallon canister, and they have to return it so that they're not left up there leaking and wasting propane and kids messing with it and blowing something up. That was the concern. So if you rent out propane bottles and you know you can lift it, say, up, this one should chill.
So if you were to say, like, $20 for the week, would that be fair?
Well, here's the deal. They have, on the side of those grills, have a gauge that tells you how heavy that is, so it tells you how full it is when you take it off. So
on
if you
the
have
propane
that,
tank, right.
Put, no, on the propane grill. So on the grill, they have ones that just weigh it. So that tells you if it's getting empty or not. So if you have one down at the ranch, and you say, okay, this costs X amount of dollars for propane, then you can tell about how much they use and charge them when they're done.
What he's saying is, though, that the grills would remain at the cabins. And
right, but they can bring the propane tank back to him, disconnect it, take it back to him. He only needs one that does that weighs them.
Yeah.
And it tells you how much is
well, if you just
tank.
Weighed one full and weighed one empty, you would be able to say, this is about half full, and you're rounding it off. It's not. I think that if you're more comfortable, if we don't have tanks, bottles up there left on, leaking out, wasting propane, and the grills are all gas grills, and you just keep all the bottles, and so that's how they pay is, you know, I would say, what I would do is, you know, it's a $25 deposit or whatever to take the thing, and if you don't bring it back, then we keep the deposit. If you want to balance your money, then they bring it back, you kind of weigh it, you guesstimate, and it's $5 a gallon or whatever, and you say, based on this, it should be about, you know, you used about a gallon or 2 gallons.
I could figure something out.
You could easily.
Well, I'll show you my grill. It's really easy. Just have a gauge right on it. Tell you how much.
I'll figure something out. But, I mean, I just kind of, it was a good idea to go with the charcoal grill, but then you get to thinking about it.
Are our existing gas grills operational? And
I'd say probably 8 out of 10 of them, I think. Buying a couple
grills.
If they are, I would try to do that this year. I still like charcoal, you know, even if they let it go cold. When you're cleaning the cabin, to take a square shovel and scoop a couple of into a coal bucket that you have, it wouldn't be that big a deal versus gas grills that won't light and the emitters have spiders in them, and you know, we'll always fight that. But this year, while we have them, let's use them up until they're kind of, because you take charcoal and put in one of those gas grills and you'll destroy it.
Right.
I mean, it's not made for it. So I think that if we keep the gas grills and use it, and those that aren't, instead of buying one, maybe put in a charcoal and we kind of phase that way and see how it goes this year both ways. Because we'll always need those charcoal, you know, like at the park.
Yeah.
If we put one in a cabin and we decide later to dig it up and put it by the pavilion or something.
Well, they have
we're not out anything.
In the Northern Tool Catalog for $80, there's that cast iron or that big heavy duty
steel. You put it on a post. We bought several and put them in place. And that's what I would do. And so that eventually we'll have one of those at every cabin. Because some people, even if the gas is there, may choose to be on wood flavored, you know.
Would that be all right if I bought a couple of them just to kind of try them out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Instead of buying gas grills, I'd use the gas grills and the tanks we have and buy a couple of charcoal and put them at the cabins where people don't have it and get some charcoal there at the ranch, at, you know, at the store.
Okay.
And say, you know, we'll try it.
Okay, 40,000 gallon water tank.
You want to tell, or you started asking the questions? The state is planning on coming down next Tuesday to do an inspection of the lower system.
I don't know if you guys got my email and if you've got the form.
It's what we call the sanitation report.
It's a project report that the state has to have.
The engineer. Well, they're doing their sanitation inspection,
right.
But where we're redoing that's what he emailed out was an application,
right.
That where it is a state approved system or whatever.
But
if we're going to make
project.
Alterations like this project to redo the tank, we've got to let them know and
right.
ask permission.
Right. So that's all handled. Paul Wright or something with the state.
Good that you're on top of that.
He's the engineer that's involved in this area, and I've called him.
Is he Olson?
Eldon Olson.
Eldon
Olson. Doing the
okay.
survey. But the engineer that is kind of overseeing the southern Utah area, he's been in contact, and he says, you know, as long as the contractor who's in charge of the job just submits some paperwork saying that this is a material that he's using, this is the cure time that he's going to allow. That's all.
Okay.
The 40,000 gallon tank, I have some pictures on the camera. The water's been drained. I squeegeed out all the water. I kind of ran the water up and brushed off a lot of the heavy stuff out of the tank. So the tank's drying. It's shut off now and it's drying. Talking to Kerry, he's the guy that we've been in contact with, Kerry Houston with Houston Tank. He came and did the inspection on the tank, and the mills are supposed to be anywhere between 10 and 12 mills. He's found anywhere up to 50 mills on some of the parts of the tank. So he's crunching numbers trying to get some sand costs. It's going to be probably double for the sand and labor to blast all that off. I mean, it's some thick stuff. I was hoping to have a finalized bid today to bring to the board, but he's still trying to give us the best deal. The estimated bill was, I think, $12,000, or the estimated bid was $12,000 on the last bid that he submitted, but that was 16 months ago. So things have kind of changed as far as prices on fuel, and I told him, you know, we could probably handle some fuel costs to help out. You know, we just fill our tank and then labor, I could help them out there. And if anybody had a compressor, that he's having a hard time trying to find a compressor that would work. But
how big of a compressor do you need?
It's a big one. It's 125 PSI at the head. And it's supposed to be like oil. It's supposed to be a certain kind. So the changes on the sand is the big one for the bid. But it's offline right now, and we're just kind of waiting for the bid.
Do we have anybody else looking at it to have a second bid? Or?
Richard Kaufman, but I can't get a hold of him.
Anybody else that we should be working with?
Well, with those numbers,
the one was the one that you had met at the training and stuff, maybe.
The M&M. I think they would have the same problem with the sandblasting. You know, he kind of gave me a rough $12,000 for the 40,000 gallon tank. That's everything included. But I think he would run into the same problem. Is it's going to take twice as much sand to sandblast all that stuff off?
Does it all need to come off when you got inside? And now you've inspected it. We talked.
Well,
about
that's where I still quit, because it looks like the ends are really coming off and much worse than the sides.
Mm-hmm.
If the side has 50 mil, do we need to, if we sandblast into it where we get a fresh, good bond, you know, for another 10 to 12 mil
right.
coat, do we have to go all the way through it clear to the steel? Or?
I don't think so. But if you look at it, it's like this wall right here. Some of it was rolled on, some of it was sprayed on, some of it's real thick, and you can see where it's cracking. It's just big pieces. I didn't touch any of it, but, I mean, it's...
Even on the sides?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, on
yeah.
sides, ceiling... One of the things that they were talked about in this, and as part of the problem, is that when it got to be that thick, you know, 25, 30, 35 mil, that material doesn't expand and contract at the
like
same rate as steel does, and so it just, that's what caused it to pop apart. The 10 or 12 mil bonds to the tank, it acts like part of the tank, so it'll expand and contract with the tank. When it gets too thick, it doesn't, and then you have sections pop off. the thing that would concern me about spraying over the stuff that's already bonded and not taking it off and or, you know, just patching in and doing the other, is that going to continue to happen to us down the road? Are we going to have sections pop off anyway? And so now we got to go back in another time. And, you know, I don't know enough about it. I'm just, you know, but I was in the tank with Paul the other day, and that, the one end of the tank is really bad. And, I mean, it's rusted, and it's got some serious pitting on that end. And that's, I don't know if sandblasting is even going to do it. I think a grinder's going to have to be taken to that to clean it
up.
To
the ends?
The south end. The north end just has popped off, but the south end has just got some serious rust and pitting on it. And, you know, of course, once again, I'm not a metallurgist, and I don't know. But
it doesn't look like any of it's rusted to where it's
gone
beyond the integrity of the tank.
No, I don't think it is. I think you take a grinder and grind
did
all
you look
of it.
At those when he emailed them? Just spin that guy.
But you can't. But the funny part is, and it's not funny, But the funny part is it's random where these pop off sections are. There's, you know, some general areas, and then when we were looking at it the other day, you know, up on the ceiling, there's an area where it's popped, and then you look around on the sides, and you can see where the material was sprayed, and then I think it got too thick, and so they, you know, they immediately took a roller and rolled to try to make it, you know, get the coverage, and I just have to guess that the application was done incorrectly.
So with rolling it, it didn't adhere as well, or it
problem is
it
too thick. The problem is it's too thick.
Yeah.
You know, you put something on there, and it's a solid piece, mm-hmm. but then the tank on the outside expands and contracts.
It doesn't look like this tank would have ever been used on
a
pan.
No, it doesn't have.
It's got a flat bottom, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's, you can kind of see where it's dented up a little bit, kind of in the middle, and it's kind of flat.
But it would have never been stored on it.
But he's saying from the top it rounds down around, and then the bottom of it looks like it's flat for a foot or something across the bottom.
Yeah.
Like it was always made to be on its side, like it is now, not on its end.
I think it was up like this. I mean, I took a couple pictures. I don't think it's on this disc, but there's some that coal tar on the outside.
Yeah.
Up to a certain section, and there's 10 feet where there's nothing.
Right. That's why I distinctly remember the outside was was coated in tar about a quarter of the bottom of the tank at one time.
Right. Well, another thing about his bid was $3,000 of it was to spray to sandblast the outside and coat it. And I told him, I said, it's going to take a lot. I took some pictures, but there's some thick stuff on the outside that's going to take a lot of sand to get on.
I don't think we need to sandblast the outside.
Well, with us burning it up, I think we still have to put a layer of Visqueen or something to prevent the moisture.
Right.
But as far as doing the outside, that's $3,000. I think that we could probably.
Oh, I
think that we buy some elastomeric white paint and spray it. We got a Nairless or whatever. I mean, if there's some bad spots that we can. Take a wire brush to or some, try to scuff up a little bit, but I wouldn't try to sandblast the outside.
I looked at this right here, and we have budgeted. I don't know if this number changed, but it's $10,000 here.
It was always $15,000. We split it out and said, well, if we get, because everybody, we were thinking maybe we could do the tank for less than $10,000. So we said, dropped it to $10,000 and put $5,000 up here in water catchments and diversions.
Mm-hmm. So are we still kind of sitting at 15? Because his bid's probably at 12 right now, but he's crunching some numbers as far as sand. And
if we need to go over 10, then we're just going to have to be doing less in diversion and stuff.
Right.
But we were hoping
to make over. Well, we need him.
And as soon as I get a hold of him, as soon as he comes back with me with some numbers, I told him, I said, we'll go to Vegas and get sand. We'll do whatever we have to do.
Well, another thing is I want his professional oversight. If we need to get more people to try to spend a shift in the tank sandblasting, labor and stuff, we can try to do that.
And you'd have to, you could do something like delete the RV pads or whatever for now.
What do you think, though, as far as his
tank
professional, I mean, meeting him and looking at, does this guy know what he's doing? I do not want to spend more money. Obviously, what we did last time was a waste of time.
You know, looking at him and talking to him, he wants to do it right. He doesn't want to just sandblast just enough to get by and then patch it up, because patching it's just not going to work with this tank.
It needs to be a solid tank. What happened to all the paint that we already got?
Oh, it's sitting in the shop, but it's been sitting outside, it's been sitting inside, it's been in the sun, it's been...
It's got furniture.
That stuff is really sick.
It was still bought before you came, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was outside when I came.
But we need to check it.
Well, what I'm...
You're more than welcome to come over and look at it.
Maybe it's going to be something we use for the outside.
That's what I was thinking. We could maybe use it as a like a primer coat for the outside.
That's a good
you
idea.
Know? And then, maybe. You know, yeah, maybe.
I haven't seen too many paints survive freezing.
Yeah, if it freezes, you know, you're still talking so much money. And I mean, it would be worth pumping on the outside, but as far as inside and going through the labor and stuff, it's absolutely stupid to try to put it inside.
Right. Yeah.
Even being that old, if it hadn't froze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's got a bonding, you know, you mix it, and it's got a cure, a hardener in it and stuff. It's like automotive paint. It's not
yeah.
auto paint.
And just roll it on.
Yeah.
All good. Well, so the tank's offline. Yeah, we have that inspection on Tuesday. I think everything will be fine. And it's not
I'm sure he'll go and look at the tank and look inside of it. And he may have some, you know, this guy's looked inside of thousands of tanks to say, yeah, that's pretty, you know, that's one thing I still question. You know, does he say, yeah, you got some popping and flaking in most tanks? Or he says, oh, this thing's horrible, you know.
Stick his brain.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
Yeah.
He's actually, I got him to stay in the cabin, and we're having dinner on Monday night. So, you know, we'll do what we can do. But it's not, his report isn't going to go in right away. If there's anything wrong, because I told him, we're not even online. This is our off season. You got to give us a break. The tank's down. We're doing repairs. So he's like, no problem. But he's going to come up and do the cross connection program with me. That's a 3-hour deal that Barbara did that I haven't been trained on. So that's kind of good. But then just going through the system, which the only thing that I question is that separation between the culinary well and the irrigation well. That's one thing he questioned me on over the phone. You look in that culvert, buried, so you can't really see it. I told him, oh, it's disconnected. But what's disconnected? Is it completely disconnected? Because it's separated with valves right now. To me, that's disconnected, but there's no, you know, to try and tell him, you know, it's disconnected. There's no way that water can get in there. But there's when there's valves, there is that possibility.
If we open valves,
yeah.
then there is a way to back it up. Well, but again, they do some of that crossing on an emergency only so that they can open valves in emergency.
Well, our irrigation well is not classified as culinary quality.
No, just because it was not
so,
grouted.
So even in any case, we can never back up the existing system.
Right.
You know, they would not allow that. So
right.
we need to cut it.
Maybe we need to
cap it.
Cut it off and cap it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, meantime, I told them that it is disconnected. But it's buried under dirt, so it's not
yeah,
like...
It shouldn't be too hard to... We can leave the valve on the good side
mm-hmm.
and cap it on the other
well,
side.
Well, what I was going to suggest is we just connect the irrigation well into the irrigation pipe and...
Yeah, we're done.
And we connect it, yeah. Basically, so.
So, just to kind of finish, the 40,000-gallon tank is offline. We're just charging the line, and we haven't really had any problems yet.
Okay.
So,
keep working on it.
Yeah.
We keep supporting you moving ahead. Next item is the PRV valve and whatnot there. What do we need to do to fix that all up?
Well, we need to...
Do you need to do that?
No.
Okay.
What I was going to do is get together with Paul, and we're gonna get some numbers together in relation to the total number of valves and that we need, and then draw a plan up, and then.
Great.
And we'll send it in. We
can do a back flushing like we talked about.
Well, yeah, we'd like to be able to. What we'd really like to be able to do is isolate each and every cabin, so we could actually shut the water off before the cabin, make valve repairs without taking the whole system offline. Right now, to do any one cabin, if you have to work on the cabin anywhere outside of its stop and waste or shutoff valve, you have to take everything down and drain the whole system.
Well, at least in two, like 9 and 10, probably, you know, if we only put one valve in, where it takes off, so you have to fill down 9 and 10.
9 and 10 really only need a valve to shut off 9 and 10. They both have good valves in them, because you know, 10's got a good stop and waste, and 9's got a good stop. They've got good valves.
Is there a valve at the PRV?
There is not a valve at the PRV, and that's another thing we'd like to
do. We put a valve there, even we don't have all that much storage capacity from there on out.
Right. Well, the plan, I think, we left the trench open.
Yeah.
Just for this reason, just so we could put a valve in there and then pipe or stem out a line for a hydrant at the fire pit. So while it's open, we can fix the PRV, whether we're going to go with a 4-inch PRV or just put the original one in and then put a valve there and then bury it. But, isolating the cabin.
I think we ought to go with a 4-inch PRV. I don't think we should.
A four inch will definitely create less problems for us, because that 2-inch, the restriction isn't that big, because the flow we have is not, you know, it's not restricting the pressure enough to be a problem, or the volume enough to be a problem. The problem is that 2-inch valve is so much smaller than a 4-inch valve, and the screening is where we, you know,
I'm wondering, do we want to put a 4-inch there, and then would it help to install that 2-inch below the cabins but above the ranch house, so that we don't have so much pressure at the ranch house that's below the house?
Our pressure is perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I like that pressure.
I mean, it's not too much. That last hydrant down there, there's not a single problem.
But, see, one of the things we want to do is we want to be able to have a shut-off valve at each hydrant, because that's the other thing. You go to fix a hydrant down there, you know, and you have to take everything offline. Everything has to go offline.
Well, or at least the cabin, because if it's to that cabin, and so to dig up a hydrant, you have to shut down the cabin.
Right. Well, and down in the headquarters, we could put a main shutoff valve. Vance Green and I, we went down there with his underground detection stuff, and we traced everything down, so we know where the water line runs. And we've marked on there where a good place to put a valve above, you know, below the cabins and above the headquarters. And it actually turns out to be right in front of the old barn, which would be a really good spot to do it. But we need, if we can put a valve there to isolate the whole headquarters area, and then those valves up on top. And then I totally agree with Dirk on doing good valves. Let's not cheap ourselves out, because we cheap ourselves out and we just have to keep replacing stuff. You know, so we'll start crunching some numbers and putting a plan together, and then we'll draw it up and
I have that paperwork with all the numbers of the valves and
okay.
Kind of where I would like a shut off valve at every hydrant. Right now I have two hydrants just leaking, just dripping water. Steady flow of water. Can't do anything about it.
But they're by a cabin.
No, these are down at the headquarters.
Down at my,
well, and if they're way out by themselves, they should have one. I'm just saying, if it's a hydrant that's 10 feet from cabin 8, then cabin 8 should do it. But if it's, you know, to that and several irrigation, or goes down to the bulb.
Actually, on the cabin stuff, I thought we just put the shutoff valve up beyond where the hydrant and everything is. Shutoff valve is there. Shut it off there. You can fix the hydrant if you have to. You can fix the stop and waste if you have to. And, you know.
So Honestly, right now the ground's just real soft. I think, you know, my plan this next coming week was to start digging up some of these hydrants.
I got the hydraulic hoses to fix the backhoe, so we could start doing the digging.
I think with the tank down, it'd be real easy to drain the system.
Should be the time we really jump on everything. Yeah. So let's get going so that we have everything tuned up and the valves put in as soon as possible.
Okay.
All of the general ground, the snow melt is down off of all of the flat surfaces where you would be digging, right?
Around.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's so, you know, we've got, you know, we've still got piles of snow.
Welcome, Mr. Turley.
Hi, guys. I just came in route. Sorry. It's a really nice park up there called Zion.
Anybody hear it?
Well, why didn't the driver just fall?
We're just finishing up
this stuff right here. Okay.
So, I would say let's move forward with that. I don't want to wait till another board meeting for approval on any of it, though, so don't feel
yeah,
like...
Yeah, there's anything
know.
That we need
I just wrote on my saying, start digging.
Yep. Yeah, let's go, let's order the stuff, and move forward.
Well, as soon as we get shut off valves for the cabins, then check with me on price. I still have some 2-inch valves, but they're... that I need to look at them still to see. I mean, they're heavy-duty brass 2-inch shut-off valves that may be able to go to 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, you know. But they're a hand crank, and I need to see if there's...
Quarter turn?
No, they're
no,
a,
they're
a
no,
span.
They're,
but they're just not a square cap, so there's a key that usually will sit, you know, trying to go down in them, and so that they can be down in there. You know, they've got, I think, but I haven't seen them for a while. Yeah. But they're...
Well, if you've got some of the good valves and we can use them, then you know.
Well, and I found those valves in the shed too, going through.
Well, and that's what you said. Yes, that's that thing. But you know, I just want to double check before if they're not that much, let's get new ones that they all take the same key.
Yeah.
If we can do that, is you know, because you get up there to shut off something, and we got three different keys because the stop and
wait. We have a system like that. When I was doing stuff, you have to haul all three keys with you because you never know what valve you're going
to
run into.
They have a water meter like those stop and waste. That's one, and the other is a 2-inch square, mm-hmm. and even if it's only a 2-inch valve.
Well, and I know a lot of the ones that I put in recently, you get the same valve. It's not a stop and waste. It's just, and it's quite a bit cheaper, you know, because we probably don't need it to drain back.
It's just a ball valve with the,
right. Yeah, it's
with
a
the
ball
same
valve
key as a
it,
stop
yeah.
and wait.
Right. It's a metal 90-degree, you know, turn it fully one way to open, fully the other way to close, and you know, they seal off good. The gate valves, I think, are, if we are dealing with the 4-inch pipes, we need the gate valves. But
we need a good gate valve.
If we're dealing with the, you know, 1-inch and stuff, I think these metal ball valves, brass ball valves are really good.
Something that'll last.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Great stuff. Any other discussion on water issues? Mr. Turley, did you have any other inputs for us? We've kind of, I think you are aware that we made the decision to basically have a guy blast and recoat the tank. But
I follow all the emails. Okay. And if I don't have anything. So that's the bottom line. We're waiting for Kerry Houston to give us a final bid, which we were hoping for today, but he won't. And the state has come to inspect the system Tuesday, and we may learn a few more things there. But you've seen the pictures.
I was intrigued by the thickness difference in what it should be and what it was. And is that the reason why?
I think that's...
Well, this Kerry Houston was saying he'd never seen a culinary water system. And I don't know about this, but cause I've seen some tanks with some pretty thick liners. But he says, you know, this tank shouldn't have that much on it.
Okay.
So they did too good of a job.
Yeah. Well, it's the old, hey, if
that's good, four times it's better. Yeah, it's the same thing with your medication, you know. Well, if one of these is what I'm supposed to take, I'll just take five.
Something else, too, is there was a brake drum in there that made me feel real good. I think the brake drum was holding.
An automotive brake drum.
Holding the screen down.
Add a little iron to the water?
Just a little bit, like we needed more.
As long as all the asbestos was flushed out, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, agriculture and wildlife. Fencing, we ready to... I think, Paul, I'd have to say the water system is a priority, but we'll need to get...
Oh, I've got up to the ponds today to look at that fence that I need to finish, and that there's still 2 feet of snow up there.
Well, remember, the big fencing issues are going to be the BLM.
Well, and I've already been looking. They actually, that cattle guard right there, they just cleaned that out. And I looked on the north side. That fence is good up to about a mile. I haven't gone any further. And then south, I need to do some work right there.
Out by Lake Wash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't gone out there yet.
Yeah.
The one south was the one you wanted me to look at first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And still well, all of up. Our south, everything south of Scudamore Road.
Yeah.
So from Lake Wash back to the
south and east, Deer's Point pasture.
Something along the fencing needs. I'd like to get approval today to buy two rolls of horse wire. The fence that we put up when we first moved out there temporarily to keep our goats in where they're at right now is really starting to take a beating. It was that welded wire. It was the cheapest stuff we could get. It was something kind of temporary.
Why horse wire, though, instead of barbed wire?
Goats don't like barbed wire. They'll go through it. They're not like cows. They'll crawl.
Oh, you mean a mesh fence?
Yeah.
Just a 2x4 horse wire.
2-inch by 4-inch kind of a...
It's not welded.
I just thought you meant smooth wire. And I'm kind of a...
Oh.
No.
I don't...
No, he's talking a mesh fence like, you know, when you go up Mountain Canyon.
Right.
Yeah. Where they're not tack welded together and pop apart.
Right.
They can flex and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay.
This is behind the ranch house?
Actually, where the chicken coop is and where the scale is, we've kind of turned that one yard into... I guess there was a divider there at one point, but we just cleaned it up and just put a fence on the existing fence just to keep our goats in there. And just over time, they've kind of rubbed onto it and just split that, and now they're running through it.
Okay.
But I haven't, and I've talked to you guys about it, about a consistent theme or a consistent type of fence down there, and I keep looking. There's a lot of fences that I've been looking at, but... I think that's later on down the road. I'd like to get my goats kind of...
I think we're down to a metal fence or a railroad tie and wood 2x fence.
Yeah. I like railroad ties and wood. I do. But I also saw a fence for inside, in front of the ranch house, in front of the comfort station, in front of the garden cabin, in front of the park, is a just a 4x4 post with 2x4 draws.
Yeah.
And then just white lat, one by ones.
Yeah.
It's like a picket fence, but it doesn't have the point.
Well, that was back at the Hermitage, those pictures that I took, that's what they were. They were 4x4, then the last, and then a 1x over the joint area of the 4x's.
Really clean, really
kind
nice.
Of an angle on top so that, you know, rain wouldn't sit on them.
Mm-hmm. Just something to think about later. I'll keep emailing you guys pictures of fences. But.
So, hey, Joanne.
That's how it comes to him.
Good deal. Okay, so I'm trying to move up the grazing on the BLM permit. I made a request. We'll see if we can get anything done there from June 10th earlier. Are any crops coming up?
Oh, yeah.
And how about our kochia field?
It's starting to come up.
What does it look like?
Dirt.
We're growing dirt, huh?
It's up about an inch.
Yeah,
but
what kind of shape of a plant is it? Does it look like an alfalfa?
I'm not sure.
Plant?
I just talked to Austin. He was out there yesterday, and he says that everything's looking good. The problem we're having out there, I think, with those fields is it's been still too cold.
Yeah.
So the ground is wet.
Just the next week should see a lot of change there.
Well, I'll take some pictures and email them to you.
You can get some pictures really close to the plant. I Kevin Heaton with the Extension Service, because we have never planted that, I'm trying to get some information out of him what we should be expecting to see at that. So that'd be great. Anything else on that category? Irrigation management. We discussed this all last time, but now we're probably in the throes of it, so just wanted to kind of go down through each one. The polywog ponds, we still need a gate installed there. How's it looking now? Are we
There's not a lot of water going through there.
And do you think there will be?
I think it depends on where the rain comes. I don't think. I mean, we've had some serious snow, and some serious runoff. I don't think snow runoff would fill those things. I think a monsoon flood would.
Summer.
But I think with the way Dale had it engineered and the dirt moved, if we don't put a valve there, it's just going to fill up and spill over the other way.
Has it filled up and gone around and
a little bit, but not nothing.
Yeah, I think the concern was if we get too much there and it cuts a erosion in that.
I don't think that one there we have to worry about at this point.
Okay, Red Reservoir. Do we have any icing problems, really?
I talked to Larry.
Headgate?
I talked to Larry, and he said just on the west side, it's filling up, but I don't think there's a whole lot next there.
Hasn't got up to the... And Half Moon, anybody know what's going on there?
It's down below the head gate. It was up a little higher, and it started leaking out around the head gate, and I talked to Larry about it, and he just thinks it needs to get a little bit more, you know, the head gate won't seal, everything won't seal until you get some stuff, yeah, exactly. And anyway, but there's water in it, not a whole lot. And you can see the line where it was up higher.
Well, something we want to consider if we're going to really push this is the irrigation to Half Moon Reservoir. That ditch right there, it overflowed and just kind of went out into the field. I went and looked at it, and it's only this deep. There's some trees kind of laying in there and some leaves. I think if we were to go through with a backhoe, or Larry were to go up with a backhoe and really kind of define that.
Yeah, we definitely need the ditch from Half Moon, at least up to the diversion, that maybe doesn't work, but at least that half mile of ditch should be bringing all the runoff down.
Well, that one did pretty good. It actually filled that up, overflowed, and then went down the ditch along that that field where the windmill is.
Yeah.
But that's where it just kind of spilled over. So I think
where the windmill area is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the water
that's
didn't
kind
make
of in
it.
The oaks.
Yeah,
it's on the east side of the oaks there. I actually looked at it yesterday myself, and I was thinking that I could take a little dozer in there and maybe define it a little better. But after I looked at it, we'll need to take a backhoe in there and actually dig it out.
Just define it. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Really define it.
I mean, it there's a lot of water moved down through there, and it carried a lot of silt. You know, I mean. When that really started to run off.
But we really should do that now, so that if we get some April and May rains, then we get that in
the fall. I was wondering if Larry could bring his four-wheel drive backhoe. I mean, I'm afraid if I take my little two-wheel drive backhoe out there in that field, I'm going to get stuck, because it's still, you can go out there in an ATV, and you don't have a problem, but you go out there in anything bigger, and you can just a lot of moisture.
He was having some trouble with his backhoe. He was trying to get repaired.
It's up at Settlers. Are you doing work out there with all those oaks, thinning them out or clearing them?
We're going to start. I'm going to start cutting them, thinning them out right away.
His grader, little grader, might be able to go through
His little grader might. We might be able to do it with the big grader. We can get enough of an angle, but I don't know. Once again, getting out there with the big grader is going to sink.
The ground's still really wet.
Can we cut that for firewood at all?
That oak? Oh, yeah, that oak will work for great firewood. I mean, they make some great stove logs, the stuff that's going to come out of there.
I should probably come and test them.
Yeah, well, if you do, basically what we're trying to do is take about every third tree. Okay. The BLM wants us to take every second or two trees for her and leave one standing. Mm-hmm. But I figured we'd take one and leave two standing. So... But yeah, if you want that for firewood, that'd be some dandy stuff. And now's the time to come. Now it's time to come get it, because it's not leafed out and you can get through it real easy.
Okay, Hidden Reservoir. Has anybody looked over there?
I actually went up there yesterday myself. Wandered over to it. It's got a lot of water in it.
Saw some great pictures.
Yeah. Well, Larry went up there the other day, and he was telling me about it. So when I went by, I was checking the road to the Bozays and Fred Searles yesterday, and so when I went up Bass there, I stopped and wandered over and took a look. Anyway, it's got a lot of water in it, and it'd be really great if it'll hold that water.
Is it got water up to the head gate level? Or?
Oh, yeah. It did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And so, yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hey, this is Kathy Green. Sorry.
It's okay. We just heard you come in.
Oh, okay.
Did Larry say anything that there needs to be more work up there at Hidden Reservoir?
Mm-hmm.
I know Half Moon Reservoir needed those, and Red Reservoir needed those.
Yeah, no, there needs to be. We need to do some work up there. The that head gate requires a kind of a walkway out to it.
Yeah, he was going
to
rebuild the walkway out to the head gate.
Yeah.
Okay, water management of the fish ponds. make sure that we aren't blowing out any fish ponds or...
Everything seems to be flowing pretty good. That that second pond has that overflow that's supposed to fill up that new thing that they dug out. But it's still covered in snow.
Yeah,
there's still ice on the pond.
Yeah.
But everything seems to be flowing pretty good.
All right. We'll just keep monitoring that.
Yeah, just this whole week. We've got to get back up there before the end of the week. Or if we stay this warm, that 1 foot will be gone in a week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No problem.
Okay, roads and fire protection.
All right, you guys got my email from Earl wants to meet with us next month at our May meeting. He's got a presentation for us, and I told him said it'll take about 15 minutes, and I told him that to plan on it.
Okay,
so
Earl, look very good.
Yeah. Anyway, I went yesterday. I kind of took a little busman's tour, so to speak. I went up to the ponds, and I on the ATV, and I don't know if Larry's told you, but he's basically parking his grader across the road right there at Broad Hollow and Meadow Canyon. There was a great big huge mud bog. It's drying out nicely, just about a quarter mile up from there.
Where Clark cut off the hill.
Yes, exactly there. And so anyway, it was so deep, the ruts in it were so deep and it had so much water that Paul couldn't get the grader through. Larry was barely able to get his little grader through, so he has a little side diversion to go around it. It's drying out nicely, but we are definitely going to need to put some material in there. Once we run over it and we pack it down a little bit, it'll be better. But, the monsoons could really beat that thing up to where it would be impassable for members to get up and back. And I went up to Slide Canyon Road yesterday, and I got probably...
4x4?
I was on my ATV.
ATV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't drive up there.
Yeah, you do not want to go up there in a truck yet. It's... I could have got further, but even on the ATV, I was making too big a mess, and I just wasn't about to do that. But I got most of the way in, almost to the
split,
and there's still a couple of big drifts there. And
did
the
it
only
wash out that road yet?
What's that?
Did it wash out the road yet?
The road itself? You mean through the big washes? They're actually in good shape. Every one that I went through. The problem is that I was able to skirt those drifts. You know, go one side or the other. If somebody tries to go up there in a truck and not, they're going to have to bust through the drifts, and hopefully, people will use their head and not head up there yet. Everybody I've talked to, and I get calls and emails almost on a daily basis, I'm telling everybody May 1st, because you can't go through Broad Hollow yet. Broad Hollow, just up from my turnoff where I have been plowing all winter, you can look up the road, and there's still over a foot of snow, 18 inches of snow on the road up there. And so, and I'm sure that beyond the ranch where it's not graveled is even, because that's all shaped
spots and stuff.
Yeah.
You can have drifts and stuff.
Yeah. So,
anyway, we'll be lucky on May 1st, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm just discouraging people. The problem is that Paul and I get emails and calls, and they'll call or email me. I will tell them that, and then they'll call or email Paul. He'll tell them the same thing, or vice versa. So
can we put out a general newsletter with this information?
When's the next newsletter supposed to be going out?
Anytime.
Well,
I don't know what you
should go out now.
Snow levels and everything
should go out.
I don't know. Is it snow like that up there a lot?
Nancy's the one in charge of it.
Not for years.
No.
Because this, there's people aren't going to get into Slide Canyon for a while.
Well, Bob and Lois Nyman brought their motorhome into the Podunk last year in mid-March. Okay, and it was perfectly dry at that time. And what people are telling me, or the questions that I keep getting raised with myself, is that, well, every other year I've been able to get there.
Right.
Well, we had 15 feet of snow, and it was cold. We had 18 degrees at my place and down the headquarters just a couple days ago.
Paul, can you ask Nancy if she'll get one out right away and include some?
Well, that and even the county road that has been basically impassable unless it's four-wheel drive. Now, as it dries out, maybe, but people that are bringing motorhomes and things like that, they may not even be able to get up the county road.
They can probably make the county road, but the bad part about the county road is that it's so rutted that, I mean, I'm really familiar with it, and I drive it okay, but it actually scares me. I mean, I drive slow on it now because you can get sucked into those ruts that are there and just...
It'll break a shock.
It'll break a shock. I'm trying to just tell people wait till May 1st and hopefully at that point in time. And I agree with Dirk. I think there's going to be certain parts of the ranch that are still, you know, you're not going to get to by May 1st.
AmeriGas
is supposed to come out on Monday.
They can get there. They will not have a problem.
Okay.
I've got people lined up to get, you know, work on that Johnny Brown thing. It's all volunteer help. You know, I'm going to coordinate that with Larry. I don't know where we are on the Title V right now because of the county stuff.
We are right here where I have another assignment from you.
Oh, okay.
I met with them two times to go over fees, and they did do some work, came up with this part of their public land statute that says that there are some circumstances that allow exemptions from paying rent. And out of those circumstances, the BLM may reduce rent payment even to zero in appropriate circumstances. BLM may require you to submit information to support a finding that your grant qualifies for a waiver or a reduction of rent. So that's what I'm asking, if you'll type up a really nice memo. And here's the things that it says. You're entitled to reduce or eliminate if you can show that, one, you are a nonprofit organization, corporation, or association which is not controlled by or a subsidiary of a profit-making organization. So I think you can show that, or that the project will provide benefit or special service to the general public, and I think you can show that. Or, two, that you provide without charge or at reduced rates a valuable benefit to the public or at large. And again, let me do that. Three, this one doesn't apply. It says if we hold, it does. If you hold a valid federal authorization in connection with your grant, and the United States is already receiving compensation for this authorization.
Which would be our grazing.
Our grazing lease. So we say, look, we already have a grazing lease out in this area. We need access out here to that.
We're also paying Title V costs on other roads.
Right.
Your grant involves cost sharing or reciprocation right of way. One of the things that they said to make sure to do is to show that we are allowing passage through our private property, so that's, you know, something that we're giving to the public at large and so forth as well. So I think there's kind of some things in here that you can kind of look at. It mainly starts the bottom of this page, top of this page. But they're expecting a letter from us that then they can use to pass on to their upper echelon. To perhaps eliminate the fee or get it significantly reduced.
I need Zach and Aaliyah. I need mud on them, and I need some pictures.
Every day.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I still think you should hold off till May 1st.
This is gonna be.
Don't push it till after May 1st.
I've actually had a lot of talks with Havishaw over this. And this actually will help them in some ways with some of the other.
Yeah, Mark's actually pretty pumped about the fact that we're pushing.
Right.
We're going to just drop the whole thing. But as long as we're pushing, it shows that there's a need.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And so Mark's actually,
said go ahead. He's, and I've copied him on all the documents and been very good at trying to make sure he's in the loop.
Do we have any Deer Springs letterhead by chance?
Yes.
We should use some for these kind of letters.
Well, I've always thought that we ought to have a deer with spring legs.
There's a deer on it, but not the spring.
Oh, well, well, welcome to my world.
Is there, you know, Al Hamlin and, you know, Lefebvre out there, do they have grazing leases out there that maybe we can kind of get them on board with this as well?
Well, I was just, I'll mention in this that we're not only providing benefit for us, we're going to, our neighbors.
It's the main access to the middle of the county.
It is. You know, we got us.
And
we got
that for the tourists and everything, all of that stuff.
Right, yeah, tourism.
You'll do
great. We got, you know, I mean.
Yeah. You get
and
it in
you
the right
know,
hand.
Because they're always coming to your
Oh, mind. I love creative writing.
You can say it's a worldwide need.
I can, and I'll even include some pictures of the French.
I've met people in this last week from probably 12 different countries.
Yeah. Luckily for us, we speak all the languages. You just have to yell really loud.
Yeah.
Okay, road to Phil's lot. The snow removal and drifting markers. We talked about this. Larry and I have talked about this. Yeah, this was a bad year, and we were able to keep the road open to the Broad Hollow Metal Canyon intersection, which we had a parking area cleared out, and it turned out to be a very good place to, you know, to off the road to start snowmobiling from.
Snowmobile.
And it worked really well. But I would really like to get on to what actually is Ben's idea, and I don't like giving you credit for anything.
Thanks.
But I would really like to see, especially on those roads that we control both sides of the road and don't have to deal with any kind of Title V or anything else, is putting in ATV and snowmobile roads that we could actually end up plowing the road, but somebody could be alongside the road on a snowmobile. And so when the road started turning to mud, they still had a good, solid track to snowmobile on. And we've got some good, you know, we got some places we can do that fairly easily. And one of the things that I would like to do on this oak stuff is I would like to actually try to figure, you know, because somebody can take a snowmobile out behind the oaks now and go across the fields and go through the gate and continue on. But what we need to work on is we have a bottleneck there right there at the gravel pit where everything comes together. And, there used to be a road where the old ditch went down below the road that runs alongside the airstrip, but down below. I would actually like to semi-restore that to make that into an ATV snowmobile road. So you could actually snowmobile right from the headquarters along the lower road there,
right,
across the Scootumpah, down onto that, go through, skirt around the gravel pit, go along the fields, all the way along, and then be able to pop out and hop right onto Meadow Canyon, where it will bottleneck again when it goes back onto the monument, you know, through the monument ground. And there's minimal work that's going to be required to do that, and I think it would be a big benefit. And
could you use that in the summertime for four-wheelers?
That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to make these not only into snowmobile roads, but I'd like to make them into ATV. You know, I'm not suggesting we go out and cut down huge swaths of trees or anything else, but there's lots of places where we could run a parallel road along the main road where somebody could be on an ATV riding, and it would be ATV width, you know, and keep them off the main roads and provide a better ATV experience.
It's more of a trail system, but then as long as we do some tree trimming and stuff, then you have enough width to groom,
you know, for run horses on it. And do
yeah, you could do horses on it in the whole nine yards. Anyway, there's lots of areas we could identify to do that, and actually Dale's done a really good job up there in the meadows. They put a road around the meadows, an ATV road around there. But there's lots of places that we could do this, And in some cases, we'll end up needing to talk to some of the property owners and ask them, hey, is it okay if we, you know, widen this here or do this here? And you know, of course, it will require some cooperation in some respects, but where the association has ground that we can run parallel to the road, it would really be beneficial. Because as for myself, when I was snowmobiling to my place, you know, there was points in time when I was coming down there and I'd be able to be on the snow alongside the road, and then I have to drop down into the road, and the road has been plowed, and then you're going over dirt and tearing your machine up, and then you're popping back out. But anyway.
Well, that's a big safety issue, too.
It's a huge
summertime, you get people ripping up and down that main road, Meadow Canyon, on ATVs. You know, we knocked down that hill just for kind of line of sight, and some of the other roads are kind of straightened out now, but, you know, just to get the ATVs or even the horses just off the road, but...
Well, and not only and
purpose road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we should keep working on it a segment at a time.
If we can work with them, see about cutting little trails on their property. And,
well, know. Yeah, I'd like to. You know, one of the things that I talked to Earl about a couple of years ago, and he really highly recommended, and we actually did work on it with Ole a little bit when Ole was there, was. The fire people are really concerned about the vegetation along Meadow Canyon Road because it's our main ingress-egress point of view. It's the main egress for our members to get out and the main ingress for the fire crews to come in. And in some cases, right along the road, it's too close. And so he worked out with the Monument and BLM people for us to do some thinning and clearing along those sections where it's narrow and the trees come right down to the road. And it'd be really nice if, and I'm going to work with them and see if we can work out some kind of a thing where we can maybe even extend a little trail out there.
Sounds great.
So, okay, this is updated stuff. Okay, the road to Phil's lot, the road he's talking about is the road that runs to his upper lot, lot 44. And it runs through, I should have brought my map with me, it runs through 49, you know, kind of curves around 54, you know.
Across my 56.
Yeah, 56. Anyway, what he wants to do is do some improvement on that road. Basically, he wants to, I don't know how often you guys drive up there, but it's pretty washed out and rutted in places. And he would like to make it into a decent road. And it's going to require a few culverts, and it's going to require not really altering in any way, shape, or form. It's just going to require some material to be brought in a couple places. And so I told Phil that I would bring this up in the meeting, and then what I'll have him do is present a plan of what exactly he wants to do, and then we as the board can look at it from a perspective of, all right, this we can afford to do this much to help out. You know, because it does, it's not just the Phil's lot, there's a whole bunch of lots that will benefit from this. And so, anyway, as soon as, you know, in the next day or two, I will email him and have him get put together a plan, and then we can put together some costs.
I need to look.
What is his plan for that road? Is he...
Well, he just wants to have better access to that his upper lot.
I've been on that road quite a bit. I think running a grader up and down, maybe a little bit of base.
Well, but there's also a couple of really bad. There's places where it needs culverts.
Yeah,
you know.
There's one where it's washed out.
There's lot owners around that need to be in on the opening.
Well, yeah. The whole thing is that he wants it to be a cooperative effort between everybody, much like the Crawford Canyon.
Right.
Project of a couple of years ago, you know, or 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was now. And so what he wants to do is try to get other people involved in the whole thing. So, but I told him
I... Have you tried contacting other members?
He has not. He contacted me, and he asked me to bring it up in the board meeting, which I told him I would. And I didn't think that there would be any general disagreement, but just about like anything else we're doing now, especially when it comes to roads, it has to be a cooperative effort between us, the board, and the ranch, and the private property owners along the road. Because there's no way that the ranch can be all, do all, and everything for every single road and every single access.
What if we put a notice in the newsletter that said everybody that's joined to this certain property
would you be willing to please contact their, you know, food?
We can do that, and
I'd just give it the road name because we're basically talking about doing it from the Metal Canyon Road.
Actually, we're talking about doing it from the road that runs.
Yeah, we need to get a map look at it because you're not talking anywhere from Metal Canyon. See, we already did that. We all put in money. We did
that. That's all. That section's already done. This comes off whatever name of that road is. This comes off that road.
Well, I think the cheapest thing, just from what I see, is maybe hauling some of those cinders.
Well, why don't we put something in the newsletter then that says Bill Hall, owner of lot such and such, is proposing to make some road improvements.
We can put in the newsletter.
And any interested lot owners that
there is about 10 other lots that go through.
Yeah, that share access there that would like to contribute or provide inputs or directions. Please call Paul or Brent.
I'll do that.
And I think that'd be good. So I think generally, we want to support him in doing that, right?
I didn't think there'd be any disagreement.
So
with the,
cooperative effort. We need a motion right now because we probably don't have anything to.
We don't have anything.
Well, I think the important thing. The important thing is when the ranch graders run and stuff, then it should run it and tune up some of it. We've got some money for culverts. We just need to look at priorities. Is that a priority area that the association can put a culvert in that we've budgeted versus other?
Well, and isn't the one culvert that we really need the one where it's washed off and eroded really bad and we really need a whole bunch of heavy rock fill material there?
Where?
Almost just before the turn to his place where it turns off of that main road?
We already did. Last year we hauled rock. It was washing out there, and Alan Pete hauled, because Phil was the one that was trying to pull some trailers in and complained, and so we spent money last year and hauled rock in there. We went and looked at it, remember? They dumped all
right,
that rock.
Right, but I thought it had already...
Should have.
Some of it had fallen to the bottom, and it could use some more, but...
Right.
But
that's not the culvert you're talking about.
No.
Okay.
But my guess is we need to just look at which other ones need a lot more.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'd like to do is, and of course I can't do it for a while, is get around to different areas and look at some of the needs.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you that there's a couple of, there's some real serious drainage issues out there on the Podunk that we as the ranch should address. And it can be addressed with a couple of culverts that would really help out. And so, but I'm mentioning the Podunk because I've been out there.
Well, you assess it as a roads guy over the next month. We can't even get into it. We're not going to be doing anything.
Right. I'll add to the agenda next month, or Linda will.
Do you want that road assessment that I kind of drew up?
Yeah. Determine location for culverts.
On Podunk?
Well, in the whole ranch.
Everywhere.
There's quite a few. I've marked down three or four serious ones.
Okay. Any other roads issues?
The only other road issue that we might be addressing here is, of course, we're all hoping that the county can ultimately get everything squared away and we can get that scoot and paw thing all taken care of. I thought we were going to be really involved in some pretty heavy duty problems with the some of the culverts plugging up. But the one place we got it, and I don't know if we're going to have to fix it or if we're going to have to just push the BLM really hard to fix it, is the there's a culvert. It's about a mile north of Lick Wash heading over towards the Podunk. That thing plugged up a couple years ago, and it's run across the road there, and it's in really bad shape.
Is it east of Lick Wash or west?
It's east of Lick Wash.
Okay.
And it's a bad area because now the water comes down. Whenever it rains or anything, the water comes down and goes across the road. And it's in really terrible shape. And then people drive through it, and then there's some huge ruts and whatever. And I, of course, I took my time and I wasn't in a hurry, but I hauled the little dozer out to the podunk yesterday and pulling the trailer over across it, you know, with a pretty heavy load. It was, and it's not terrible, but all it takes is one rainstorm and it is terrible. And so I'd like to, you know, I'm going to talk to the BLM guys because they came out and cleaned all the cattle guards out.
All except for R2.
I wish they could have gone out a little further with that backhoe they had and you know, done some little drainage.
I saw how they did it, so I think when I get the Kubota back later in the season, clean a couple of them out. The two, the first one at the property, first one you come, and then the second one before you go into the ranch.
Right. But anyway, that's the only other road issue is that.
Great. Ranch activities.
Well, let's get rid of our snow, or else get the trails going.
Shauna, here's the contacts for the motorcycle guys.
Hey, they're itching. I've talked to a few people now that have come up here for those motorcycle races.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come back. They don't like where they've been racing for the last couple of years. They want to come back. They call.
Well, we've already scheduled to do one on October 2nd.
They call it the Bryce Brawl.
Is that with Lance and Tony? No. No, I talked to Lance and Tony.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it's called the Bryce Brawl?
No. This is Desert Fox Moto Club.
No, that's what this one is.
Right,
but I'm talking about the one he was just talking about.
Somebody else. I don't know the one he's talked about.
Okay, we'll talk to them, find out what that one is. So October 2nd, yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's just the same people that also race this one.
Okay.
That they've been doing it somewhere in Bryce Canyon instead, and they want to come back
here. Back here.
So.
Okay, Frank White. Okay.
So there's your contacts.
Thank you.
I
still don't know what to do about the drive because, like he said, we have to wait on the Longhorn until we get the, until we figure out an exact time he's going to come up. We thought it was the first week of June.
Well, the first one, bringing him in might be tough. It's the second
one.
We'll
wait until they get in here for a little bit.
Right.
So they could be here for a week or so, and then we can just, like, move them from one thing
right.
to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll work. But I can't give them a date till we...
Right.
Once
they're up there, I think we can
figure it out.
Work with Doug and Brad and see.
Mm-hmm. I just have to give them enough time.
Right.
So if we say it's going to do it in June, we need to put the advertising out in May. Can't do it in May when we find
June's
out.
June's going to be real tough.
Well, let's see how the snow goes.
I didn't even see any green up there at the meadow. It's still covered in snow.
I
was surprised there's that much snow up there.
Yeah, we had, that's a lot. That's good for our water table.
Well, sure is.
Okay. And it's good if we had somebody that wanted to snowshoe and that type of stuff. How do we know when we're going to have these things? It's hard to pick a date sometimes. So the more I thought about that, we can only do a couple of things because we only know when for sure we're not, like, not have snow or pretty close to. Otherwise, they'll have to be variable in the dates, or we're going to have it open like Brent's talking about. If we have a trail, it doesn't mean particularly that anybody has to come, a whole bunch of people at one time. We just have those available for them. So four-wheelers or snowmobiles or whatever, or even the big sledding helps. We could do that, and then they could come whenever they want to. It's not that everybody's going to be there at once. The other activities are going to be like the cattle drive where a bunch of people could come, or we could have our... I don't really want to do it on the 4th of July because we have so many things going on in town, but during then, maybe the 24th would be okay or something. I mean, that's tough. But if we pick a day when we have the Olympic day, you know.
4th of July.
We can do that. It could be even in September.
I'll call you later.
August.
4th of July, we do our barbecue and kind of a big to do.
Yeah.
And then we all go to the fireworks, which is kind of neat.
Right. No, it's good for those that are coming from out of town, but a lot of people in town are already really wrapped up. So if we do like the Olympics, I'm thinking closer into August maybe. I'd like to do it in June, but I don't know how good but if we have the cattle drive in June, why we can't do both of them at the same time?
What if we changed kind of along the same lines, but did an outline as far as the games and where to do them,
mm-hmm.
and what to do,
mm-hmm.
And do like they do with scout camps, and I've been saving these things that I get on these scout camps, and it's a colored sheet, and it's one or two sides, and sometimes a brochure, but it's a picture of snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, and then the idea for trails or where to go whenever people come up. And the same thing even for the Olympics, because it could be as simple as, here's the outline, or an email to a family who's going to come. These are the different games you can play. This is what you need. These are the locations. And they just handle it.
Even in Olympics, let's say that there's some event that you're trying to say, families that can run around this loop, you know, people can run around that loop all summer long, and then at the end of summer you can say, here was the top fastest three times.
For this age group or whatever.
Some amount on your honor system, but, here's how fast somebody could row a canoe across the lake or the pond from point A to point B or whatever.
Have you guys ever done those group things where it takes a group to kind of get through this challenge?
Yeah.
And there's, ropes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of them are so simple, just some 8x8 posts and some ropes.
Yeah.
And here's how you play the game.
That would be fun.
I mean,
get this barrel.
But I think we should kick it off a little bit. One of the reasons is because you're right, everybody's not going to come at the same time. But if we have we need to have at least two events everybody coming,
but let's
the idea
decide
is to know your neighbor.
Let's get the activities, and I think like Dave says, let's try to make them activities that when the kickoff event is done,
then they
still
can come back and do them.
The equipment or whatever is there that can be used for group gatherings or games,
Everything works like the think tank. Everything works like the first time you do it, you have great ideas and you put things in. Well, then somebody else comes up with even a better idea, and then you begin to add to it. So if we had a big swag around, out by the meadow in the south part where we used to play volleyball and things like that, if you could put things there, like the gym, put your 4x4 poles or whatever, with the rope climbing, whatever it is that you've got, that you just have, we start out with that, and then we'll build on it, because everybody's going to have great ideas. But we need to start something with a kickoff, so it's got to be, so we get to know each other. I think we need to get to know each other.
But I think, like these guys said, I spent thousands of dollars to go to this training camp.
Sure.
And, we did a lot of classroom stuff, but they had some outdoor group, things like that. I don't think anything that they had cost over $100 for all the equipment that it took to do that activity.
Sure.
And so let's find some things that aren't,
We can even do rifle shooting. You know what I mean? You can do target.
Yeah.
We
still
have shooting and that kind of stuff. We have
pigeon controllers up there.
Yeah.
No.
Come the polywogs.
I've been sending everybody out to the windmill.
Sure.
We have the climbing wall.
That's great. So, Sean, I know you got lots of great ideas. Let's try to start getting it into a date. And here's the six events that we're going to do on that date.
We had some clay pigeon throwers where they
How does that sound?
Okay, and we're not going to shoot for August.
Out over the
and it will have to be in the first 2 weeks of August. I'll just figure out which date, but it has to be during the first 2 weeks of August.
The ranch is full for the July weekend.
I know, so we're not going to leave to have it then.
Okay.
So we'll do it the first or second week of August, because the ranch is going to be full. There are things that they can do, but we'll have things for them that they can do while they're there. But this way, they don't have to. This is like a one-day activity. Everybody's not going to have cabins, but we'll bring them in. July is always full, because July is one of our biggest times.
June.
August doesn't have as much, do they?
June, July, August.
June is slower?
June is the busiest.
Right. That's what I thought. So if you do June and July, and then in August. So June, the people that want to come with their horses, they need to know that we're going to have that drive. But I'm thinking probably around the first week of June, maybe after school gets out and people are starting to head out for their vacation. So if you could do the first week of June, we could do the cattle drive, because they should already be there by then, right? The longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just help them move them to the other meadow.
Would you write something up, give it to Nancy so she could put it in the newsletter this week?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do, I really need to call, what's his name, Doug? No, he's over there, isn't it, Doug?
Doug Hunt.
Yeah, Doug Hunt, that's who I need to talk to again. And then we'll do the Olympics. Let's say, let's flip up that calendar, would you please, to August?
My phone's not working.
Now in the summer, there are some of us who work all week, but you know, I'm just thinking if we did, let's say August 6th. Is that a Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
You could do it Friday and Saturday. You could do it for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Those could come on Friday, some can't go a weekend. So if you did some activities on the Olympics, maybe. I don't know, or if we just want to do it all on the 7th. What do you guys think? Have just one big full day on the 7th, and then you guys do a cookout at the end that night?
I know.
We always have a cookout at the ranch every
night.
Oh, yeah, but it'll be huge if there's a lot of people.
Goat meat?
It'll be big.
Not so much.
August the 7th.
Longhorn.
Okay, but it has to start early in the morning to do all of it, so we could do the Olympics on August 7th. So far, we'll just
I know a guy.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Longhorn.
Okay.
And do you have a date for the trail, guys?
Yeah, no problem.
What was June 10th? April?
Yes, I told him to go.
June 10th, Thursday, that's not good.
Right now,
how about June? Do we have to do them all on Saturday?
Well, it all depends. Are we driving them into the meadow?
We're going to drive them across over to the point.
If you have some events, you'll drive. Who knows what? The basic issue is animals are going to be managed based on feed. And that may not line up with any pre-published dates.
Yep.
So if we have some pre-published dates, we can go up there at any time and move the cows a mile that way and move them back a mile the next way.
Okay.
And anybody that wants to saddle up a horse or come out and herd them with slingshots can do it. You know, I herded the whole herd a couple of times out of Pipeline Canyon last year. We'll probably have plenty of opportunity for them to move around. The big multi-day cattle drives, when they move them clear out of the ranch to the Priya Canyon or something like that.
If we know ahead of time, then we
Doug
can
probably give you the dates that he's going to do that. But, you know,
here's the thing.
Just kind of moving them from one area
Saturday,
to another or something.
If you do it that June 12th, Saturday, Doug's trying to get, you know, onto the BLM earlier than that. But we know we can go out the 12th or the 10th. But even if 2 days later they come and grab them and push them to Deer Springs, out onto Deer Springs Point, and it takes them a... push them out there, and they wander back over the next week. It'll at least use some feed and build some trails that hasn't been used.
Well, I wonder if he's going to truck them over to Trevor's and then drive them over to the BLM.
Well, we're just going to count those dates for now.
June 12th
and August the 7th.
August 7th and then October 2nd for Desert Fox. Is that what
Okay. But that won't be October. That won't be everybody coming. That's just for the trail.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Lance and
Tony.
I talked to Tony, and he said that they just come at random.
Yeah.
They just come whenever.
It's just whatever.
So that's not that's not really a thing that we have to schedule.
Well,
no.
And the last thing I talked to them is, and I think I brought it up in a meeting, is I'd rather have them offload their headquarters.
I think that's
smart. Okay, now when we get there on the 12th, or whoever's there, this is when I want to start showing them the place of the ATV ride, or if we can't get to that point, well, we'll say, this is where we want you to come if you want to go sledding. So I want to show them the sled trails that you have already established, or the ones that you think will be available closest for them to get to. So when they come out and it starts snowing in September, or December, whenever they come, they already know where to go that they can go to these big long sleds. There's no reason for us not to already have them established.
Well, just so you know, Polywell Farms, and then just right in the Gulch.
Okay,
right, south of the headquarters.
You come and show me.
The best thing for you to do, Sean, is just come out and you can and look at it beforehand.
We'll just call it Turley Trails.
Are we're planning on having our next meeting out at the ranch, right, aren't we?
That's right.
Wasn't that the general plan?
Yep. We'll get to that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know. I just...
Our annual meeting in September.
Right. We haven't set that date.
Why don't you have activities during July? Besides the 4th of July.
We could. There's going to be a lot of people. We are going to have activities, but we're going to have everybody invited to be that way. Well, we could. I guess we could do one in July. There's a lot of people out there.
People that are booked in July may feel like we just came in July and now you're having a big thing about it.
I know, the thing with July is they've got the 4th of July already activity that they do out there. And then the 24th, a lot of people come into town for the parade.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know how many people are scheduled to be at that time.
It's full.
We try and make every week be.
July is usually, yeah.
Well,
July
that's
is
what I'm...
Yeah. We'll try to get some of this stuff set up.
Yeah. If it's set up, say you did it in June. And something
set up. I can't do the Olympics till then, but we'll be working on that.
Right, but you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I could, you know, it's facilitated and it's there. I could show people where it's at, kind of give them a run through or however it's set up.
Show them how games work.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, then when they come at different times, they can do like they said if you do.
I think if we can collect some more specific ideas, that'd be good.
Okay.
Like there should be a compass course out there.
Yeah.
There should be a running.
We should do a geocache thing.
There should be a geocache. There should be a.
Yeah. We should just do a DSR geocache.
That's where you take a GPS and
it
takes you to these different caches and there's.
You find the treasure and
find the treasure.
Get one of those.
So
are you going to restock
it? Because basically, if we look at
some today,
if you take something, you leave something there.
Yeah.
Now there you go.
We could have a nice, a decent GPS that we check it, and maybe it's a $5 rental out of the store or something, and have just a Deer Springs specific that goes, you know, up into the forest, out into Lick Wash area, down into the No Man's Mesa, you know, a couple hour adventures, and some that may be an all day, you know, but it would be something that then a lot of people would. You know, that are afraid of getting lost, that say, you know, this is definitely an
but
easy
I like the idea of having that's some activities that I can say, here's a sheet of paper, take your family and go.
Yeah.
And maybe here's a bag of croquet things to take with you.
Yeah,
take
something and leave.
I mean,
here's your croquet mallet, but
don't.
Because I think
there's other places that people have to do that kind of thing. Well, in the past, we've had a sheet with these are the plants.
Yeah.
To identify
good idea.
Animals to identify. Just something like that you could hand them.
Like a bingo card.
Yeah.
Like a plant and animal bingo card where they can do a rocks or trees or whatever.
If
and
they get them all
filled,
they can
do
it.
So here's what I want to do.
That's a good
critiquing our board. We've got 1,000 ideas, but for 10 years, none of these ideas ever actually happen. So what we need to do is actually get 4 or 5 of these ideas to actually happen, preferably before the season begins in earnest, so that as people are up there, that Paul can say, here's 6 activities for your families, or here's 6 hike maps, or here's, something.
Can I make a request real quick, just to kind of get this ball rolling?
Yeah.
If I can get one of you, to look up a decent GPS that we could do the geocache, I'll set all the geocache things up, and it'll be rocking and rolling.
We should have that going by the end of May.
Right.
What we need to do is, it would be nice to find some, toolboxes. Metal boxes that are all kind of unique that we know, and we stencil or, weld DSR on the top of them or whatever, and go out and cache and start with 5. We can expand it beyond there, but
I can get this going.
Yeah.
And that is going to be fun, because a lot of people come up, hey, where can we hike? What can we do? And I just point to the hill and say, there's...
On this hill,
Indian artifacts over there.
Okay.
There's arrowheads. That's usually what I
there
think.
Can be a geocache. At my point, I'll leave a piece of junk. They can leave some money.
So, They can come down. I can rent them a GPS, and I think over 10 years it'll pay for itself.
No, I mean, you can get deeds and GPS like that for $120.
You can get a nice car for this kind of stuff for $100.
Can I give that to the board to try and find out?
But we should charge, you know, $5 or $10 to check it out, and it'll pay for itself the first summer.
Now, remember, I've only got a $200 budget, so let's don't get over my thing. Okay, here we go.
Did I get it? We can get you a GPS.
Do geocache? No?
Yeah. They.
I say let's do it. This is one of those activities that...
I think the only thing we need to get a GPS, though, that's way simple, user-friendly, easy, Garmin e-track,
I would say, Linda, if you can get one for under $140,
let's do
that.
And then I'll
work on the boxes.
Yep.
The last one, the one I have now, I bought
it. You go on the internet and register somehow. Do you know how to do that?
And it was like less than half the price.
Yeah.
And it works great.
You know what? I've got one that I've had since I came out here, and it works just fine, and it cost me $100. And that was 8 years ago.
That's a good activity. That one right there is a good activity.
Okay, we'll practice on that one. I'll come out and go through it. Okay.
I will get the GPS.
Okay.
And then we've got the running course that comes first. There's a number of things you can still do because here's what I want to do. I also think we need a shooting range. That way everybody can go out and they can do a target. You can buy a target or get a target, and then they can put their name on it. And that will be your competition. They bring it back to the store. They hang it on the wall. This is what so-and-so did on such and such a date. Boom, here you go. And then that will be your
competition.
We have a shooting range.
Where?
At the window.
Notice the holes in the blade?
you know where the windmill is, right?
No, I don't know where
it is. Just right off the Scoot 'n Pop.
Before you get to the ranch.
Before you get to the ranch. There's a big windmill right there on the right. Right
there. Well, we need to put some hay bales or something up, or boards or something where they can shoot into a target.
And the problem there is it's BLM, so they can't put anything.
Right.
So we need to come in either put bales of hay or something so that they've got a target to aim for, or wood boards like they do here.
Or growing baled straw that I'll pick up there.
Okay.
If you have a target in the store and they go in and pay $1 for a target, take it out, put it up, shoot it, then bring it back and display it.
Right.
Well, they we could make a little course like that maybe down in the wash, right?
Sure. I was thinking if you go down off the hill past the ranch,
there was one
right up
wash before.
But it might. But if it rains, it will wash it out.
You know what, though? A big issue for me with all the stuff that goes along with it is getting there. Because when I end up going shooting and I have to and we have to hike and I have people, most of the people won't go.
We want to drive to it.
You don't want to play.
Well, I'm just saying hike right off. I mean, it's only 200.
For a rifle range, you want. I mean, you want to lower down your tailgate.
Yeah,
you got your eight guns.
Okay,
and you can sight in this one and play with that one. And
that place
over
by the windmill.
You drive up close.
You know, as far as I mean, liability. You know, I think everybody that comes out there and shoots is pretty decent, except for the people that shoot off.
I think we need to teach our kids to shoot, and I think that's where they.
But having them off of the ranch out there, there's a nice cutout spot. You know, behind that big pile of base, up in the. You know,
I like it by the windmill. That's good. It's safe. It's not where they're going
to If I have to take a couple things of straw out there, you know, I'll do that.
Well, I'm talking about maybe six or eight, so that they can have a backing.
We're wanting an established shooting range.
Well, that's pretty established. If you look at it, it looks like it would cut out for a shooting range. It really does.
Okay, I'll be out and we'll do that.
But is that, you said that's on BLM land?
It's on BLM, yeah.
Well, I don't know if we can
all the better.
Like that?
All the better.
Public land.
Okay. We'll come out and we'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll look at that. So I'll run on 4th, and then I still want to do those 4x4 posts with the ropes on. I think that's really fun for kids, even if it's up by the pond.
Right.
They can go up there and they can just do that rope climb where they do.
No.
Then you get a whole bunch of those log poles, and then have them do lashing and build like the Boy Scouts do. They just build like a monkey bridge. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. Good idea. Okay, this will be up by the pond. So they do a monkey bridge.
I'm going to reattach those blocks. I'm going to switch those blocks on that climbing tower this year and bolt them on, screw them on. I'm surprised more of them have come off. Some of them are loose. I don't know how many of you that have been up it, but...
Not me.
I took one look at that and said...
I'm taking it.
Yep.
I mentioned that we have a shooting range by the windmill in that article.
Okay.
But yeah, that'd be good if they're getting close to coming off.
Yeah, I send them a pine or spruce or something. I'll use hardwood so that it's going to last forever.
Right. Now, could you buy those fake rocks?
Yeah. $25 each.
Oh.
You get really
cheap. Forget that.
Well, I can do wood ones, and they're pretty good. They're for the pros, the people that do it. They know the difference, the rest of us don't know or care. But.
Okay. That's it for now.
Okay. The one item that we probably need to mention is Ranch Tour Day in May, this item D.
Mm. Yeah, we do need to do that.
Five.
Well, that's all of us need to go do that, but we can't. Okay.
Well, do we want to have our next board meeting up there and do something?
What day is the first? What day is the first one in May? Right there, May 1st. It's actually on the 1st of May.
No, that's Saturday.
I know.
The first Friday.
Oh, it's on
May.
Friday the 7th.
We've been meeting the second
we're
Friday.
We're on the second Friday. It
would be the 14th, 15th.
I'll be up there already.
14th.
The 14th of May?
Let's do the 14th.
Let's have a big old barbecue.
May 14th. We better do that.
Okay.
B-O-B.
We'll have a Bob.
Okay.
And so... In your newsletter, let's invite those that want to join in the ranch tour or have things that they would like to show, garden, cabin projects or something that we can go and look at, fencing
projects.
Oh, my
gosh, they're not going to want to do that. Let me tell you why. We just barely got it out of the snow, and their yards are going to look like crap. So, if anybody wants to have a showcase, we're going to have to wait until the end of the summer when they've been out there working where their garden is.
Well, we'll do it again in the meeting.
Maybe we should do a board meeting and go and look at them, and then we should tell them that we're going to come around and do that, like at the annual meeting. When we have the annual meeting, we'll go around and show people's lots.
I think that even if we, as a board, you know, try to, you know, tour between 10 and 12 or something and go and look at a few of these areas and work projects and stuff and then have lunch and then have our
on the 14th.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I don't think
okay, so we'll do a board tour.
On the 14th?
Annual meeting.
Yep.
Yeah. On the 14th.
Yeah,
so the
I think it's more of a board tour
day.
For us.
Yeah.
I think so,
like we did last time.
Does that work for you, Dave? It's a good day.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Legal and public safety.
Wait, one more date before we do that. I'm doing dates. September is our annual meeting. Let's pick a date. Which is the annual meeting date? When you put them on the schedule, you have to keep closing the calendar. Sorry, that's your job. You're the closest.
Right. Oh.
Okay, right.
Hasn't it traditionally been on the second or third weekend of the September?
Yeah, September.
Is second Friday.
It's going to be the... Well, it's got to be on a weekend.
Yeah, it's got to be second
so it's
Saturday.
It's gotta be, oh,
September
11th. September 11th. Ooh. Can't we do September? Well, September. School starts in the end of August, so September 4th is Memorial Day. Which day is?
Labor Day.
Labor Day is the 6th. So that would be, we can't do
it'd
it.
Be
it
Labor
be,
Day weekend. The 4th would be late weekend, but that's probably not good.
But people probably, they're out of school and going somewhere. So
hey, let's
going
have a board meeting / camp out. Bring your tents.
Whoa, I don't know.
Good idea. So
on September 4th?
9/11.
For Labor Day?
9/11.
September 11th. Ooh, that's 49.
Good day.
Okay.
Why?
Well, there'll be a lot of celebration. I mean, there's beginning to be more stuff on that day.
Yeah.
Because there's things that happen on that day.
That will be our elections and everything.
Okay, that's our annual.
Yep.
Okay, all right, I'm done. Sorry.
We usually have a board, it's after the board meeting, after the
council. It's after the annual meeting.
Okay, Ed's not here. The only thing we maybe just update again, Ortolani's gate and road repair. Maybe we're starting to get close enough to where we could move that road out around or look at it.
I spoke with Art about this, and he wasn't very happy with the way the whole thing went with that gate. Like, he wasn't notified properly. It was just all of a sudden there was a kind of a mean letter about the gate. I told him, I kind of calmed him down and said, you know, I think the board called and wrote letters.
They attempted to call him.
So I don't know what the deal is with that gate.
Well, I don't want to go backwards on it 10 more times.
Right.
He agreed to move it. We agreed to work on the road. I mean, isn't it that simple?
I think it's that simple.
So I say we just keep going that direction.
And it doesn't matter what the issue is
right.
or how you approach it. He's still going to whine.
Yeah. That's kind of... Now, Linda, is your guys' lots the next one?
Yeah.
To him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before him.
Yeah, before him. Yeah, not the one after him.
After John's
right.
holiday, Eldine holiday, or whatever yeah. he thinks after him.
Okay, so we'll look at that on our ranch tour day. Let's make that one of the items
okay.
we look at. Okay. Okay. Next category, ranch manager's report. You want to walk us through these things, Paul?
I don't know why this cabin beds is still on here. We've kind of agreed to wait till
things stay on the agenda till they happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
otherwise, then we
yeah,
take them off for 2 months, and we're like, oh, yeah, remember that thing we talked about four
yeah,
months ago?
Well, the beds
yeah.
are still in storage up north because
yeah.
we don't want a storm down here.
Right.
So
we just leave it there. You can easily skip over those
you know
things.
I think I might be able to. I brought the Suburban today because I thought, well, that and the ranch.
They
want to
open up the gift shop, and that's where they're stored right now.
How many do they have?
30.
Okay. Well, I can haul some back. I don't know how many I can haul, but
well, if you can haul some, I think I can haul some too.
Okay.
Great.
You should probably get some old sheets from them.
I wish I'd have thought about that. Of course, we didn't know that we were going to have a stuck truck. I just brought the ranch trailer in. We could haul them all without any difficulty.
They're not big.
They're not.
They're like this. They're like this size right here.
Oh, okay. Well, I got straps with me, and I can load that truck down.
Let's meet over there.
Housekeeping and see if they have some old sheets you can put between them so they don't rest.
Oh, so that yeah, because you know,
let's meet over
fall.
There.
Okay.
And so, but the beds are up there. Fencing plans. I already told you where I plan on working. It's all that BLM graded fence, and I don't want to go ahead and order that Gallagher until I know that's exactly what you guys recommend. So we'll get back together on that.
Yeah, well, we're still a month out at
yeah.
least.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to get everything kind of there so we're not...
I took some good pictures of the electric fence there at the Hermitage, they also had Gallagher equipment.
Yeah.
But they had some interesting ideas where instead of putting in metal posts with insulators, they used wood posts and then just tied the wire to it with wire and, except on the corners.
Right.
But,
Well, I think the T-posts would be great because you just pull them out.
Well, these would pull out, too. They're just one by one.
Oh, okay.
T-posts are good because it gives us some... These are just one by ones cut off sharp and hammered in the wet metal, and then, they'll at least hold it up and every
right.
one have a T-post or a corner
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. And I already talked to you guys about doing some fencing headquarters area just for the goats. Water line plans, I think this next week or this next couple weeks, I'm really going to be hot and heavy on digging up some valves and just kind of have things sitting and ready and getting brass valves together so we can get that done. But and then the ranch house roof. um, not sure.
Well, we need to talk to our roofer.
Our roofer is here, and we have lots of roofing questions.
Can I have a suggestion on that? Can I do it even if you don't say okay?
I think you already are.
I've been talking with Nancy, and they have such a small space inside their house, and since we're redoing the roof anyway, why don't we, right now the roof goes like that, why don't we take the roof on them, give them about 10 more feet on the side of the house, and give them, and bump out that wall on the other side of the stove that's in their house, and that would give them, because we're redoing the roof.
That's
anyway.
Not a simple thing at all. That's a foundation.
Well, we'd have to put a foundation in, but that wouldn't be that hard.
Oh, it'd be $20,000.
You're talking $3,000 or a $2,500 repair or a $50,000 repair.
I think we looked at it with concrete and everything about $10,000, and that's not counting. That's not counting the roof. I think weren't we kind of crunching some numbers?
Yeah, we crunched a few numbers, but it's
that's a big
it's a good idea. It's a good idea. We just it's just a good idea. We should have had, you know, back when we were back in December when we were, you know, putting numbers together. You know,
I would like to bump out some of that house, but that could wait. Along the lines of roofing, and I didn't take pictures, it's kind of my fault, but on the garden cabin, we had, you know, some snow sliding down, meeting some other snow sliding down, and it peeled some of that roof back a little bit, you know, where the ridges are. It's the snow, the weight of the snow pushing against the other snow. And so
basically, we think we need to redo the whole roof of the old part.
Yep.
How about the Van Speckstead new part? That as well?
I looked at it the other day. It looks okay.
So it's pretty good.
Old part.
Yeah.
The problem is the old part, which
four layers,
multiple layers on top of old wood shingles that are totally spongy. And so, again, it's going to be waterproof during the summer. It's the winter and the ice. So it's a project to watch. You know, I think we've got so many spring projects and then summer with guests there. It's a fall project sometime. September, October, while it's still good weather, it's going to be...
So we want to do a metal roof.
Can I make a recommendation?
And the question is, do we tear all the shingles off and put even new sheeting on, or, you know...
It's blurry.
And you can maybe answer that on our next ranch tour day visit or something, but we need you to really look that over for us and make some recommendations.
You've never really looked at that roof, have you?
I've looked at it 1,000 times, but I never paid attention.
First time I will. I know I'm going to have to ask you questions from now on.
Have you ever paid attention? Suggestion, if we're going to do metal roof, if we're going to have things open, possibly insulating the old part, or when we sheet it, put some insulation sheets down with some Z-metal and then screw the metal roof.
Put down some rigid foam. And
that house, I mean, we went through a ton of wood this year just because it was just flat out cold from December till, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did too.
We're okay. I mean, we stayed nice and warm and toasty, but those windows really helped that I put in, but I think insulating that would make it a little more efficient.
But also, if I mention now, why couldn't we take that $10,000 and start working on foundation 1 year and whatever if we do it that way? Because we do the roof.
Well, because we don't have a $10,000.
Well, I know we never do, but we could have five or
yeah,
we could have
five.
Two or whatever it is.
Go get big rocks and make
an
old-fashioned pioneer type
foundation.
But, Dirk, if we're pouring concrete or something else, we could get that ready so it could be poured and then it'd be there.
Well, look, I totally disagree with that. I mean, if we've got $10,000 a year that we need to put into this, I'd rather take $10,000 a year and put it in the bank account so we have $50,000 to go do it than do $10,000
and then have it ruined by half a million
with rebar sticking up and people tripping off of it.
And personally, if we need to spend some extra money, the water tank and the water system, I think, should be a huge priority over anything. We're comfortable where we're at.
I don't mind looking at this, but we didn't even talk about it during the budget session. And so, if we want to,
we get out. We budgeted a lot of.
We budgeted a lot of critical things
this year. That if we get out of the way, then they will be taken care of.
Well, that water tank is a big issue, and we have budgeted $10,000, and it might be.
I got you.
Above that, I just
want
to make sure that's covered.
When we're out there on Ranch Day, another thing to add to the agenda. We've got Ortolani. We're going to look at the roof, and let's assess the next 20-year plan for the ranch house, because it's kind of gone through a few iterations, and what are we really going to do with that so that we...
Connor's got a good idea.
Move forward. We've already, got a whole set of house plans that we paid $2,000 for. And then, throw them right in the trash can.
And look at how many changes went through.
Okay, well, there.
I have them still.
Well, the ranch managers are doing it.
So, right. I mean, we've got to kind of look at it and really have some thrust forward that makes sense. I agree it's got lots of issues, but we need to kind of decide what its future use is. Maybe a long term, its future use isn't even best served as the ranch manager's living quarters. Who knows?
Doesn't it look better though?
It does.
It does. I think we've made some good improvements and stuff, and so we need to look at. Secondly, or thirdly, or fourthly, wherever we're at. Also, the bunkhouse roof is leaking badly, right? And so that needs to be
you look at the bunkhouse roof, you look at the cow house, sitting in, it's starting to lean really, really bad.
And then while we're on roofing type stuff, I would really like to see us, this year we did budget $4,000 for pavilions, and we ought to decide while we're up there where are they going to go and what's the priority. Because we've got a lot of materials that Dave already brought down that I'm afraid if we don't start doing something with them, they'll start deteriorating. Or, we move them three more times. And
didn't we also budget money for the barn?
Yeah, and we have budgeted in there to stabilize the barn and re-roof the barn, which is going to be a big deal where we've got to have some equipment and sheet it and galvanize,
Let me finish my part here. Tractor repairs and move back to the ranch, is that something that...
That's on the agenda for you to talk about.
Yeah.
ready to move.
It's ready to go. You got my email. And I talked to Larry, and I think you're gonna haul your backhoe out there, right? Eventually. I was halfway thinking of going up to the ponds and see if I can start scooping some snow out to try and get up to the cabins. The road's still a little bit wet, but, so I'm not kind of, I don't need it in an emergency at this point, but it'd just be nice to get it back out there. So whenever...
Your backhoe's not ready to repair to move back out?
No.
If it was taken to the end of the pavement...
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Yeah, I could.
He just wants it to the end of the pavement.
So I can haul it out to the end of the
Johnson
pavement.
Yesterday, making that with two big trailers.
Yeah.
Hauled their big John Deere out and then loaded all their discs and plows and cedars and planters. And so they went out with one empty trailer and one tractor on another trailer and then loaded everything, hauled it out.
Day late, dollar short.
Communication.
Right. So just kind of keep bugging us about that.
Up to the ponds or up to the cabins, I've cleared the snow right to the little culvert you cross going toward the spring location. Past pond number one, you cross the dam and head up toward the upper cabin.
So we're going to put the cattle guard right there.
Yeah. From there on, just around that bend, it's drifted and blown full and still 2.5-3 feet of snow. Once you get around the bend... 50, 75 yards, it's the road all the way up to the cabins is virtually dry.
So it's.
And that's what he was talking, that if he had the low the Kubota where he can buck it, scoop it, pick it up, dump it off the side to, you know, bust through those snow drifts.
I just need to get up there, start filling some tanks. We got 30 days before the cabins are open, and
the deck on cabin 4 is collapsed.
No, that's that was the deck.
The deck on cabin 2 is collapsed.
Really? Whoa! Is the snow load?
Yeah.
Wow.
All the joist hangers on cabin 4 off the rim joist. Pushed them down, so the rail is still there, but the deck itself is...
And that's what happened on cabin 1 when we rebuilt the metal deck. That's
cabin
there.
1 looks fine. Cabin 2, the deck has broken. The picnic table's crushed. The rail's hanging out from all the smoke from the roof and catching the rail and spinning it out.
Wow.
Cabin 3 looked okay. And cabin 4. Yeah. And cabin 2 and 4, decks are crushed. Mm-hmm. Not totally destroyed, but gonna have to be jacked back up and then rehanger.
Well, we talked. One of the which one was the one that we budgeted some significant money for?
Cabin 2.
2. And you know, like Ben had suggested, let's really redo that. Right, put in the metal or the tracks or something. And right.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do tracks because tracks only screws down to wood. I would do just like I did on cabin number 1 and weld up with. Scavenge, you know, get the page steel or this place that Paul's called, you know, and haul in enough steel and get somebody on a welder and get it done, and it'll be there after the cabin's gone.
Well, and you look at all the ones that you did, there's nothing wrong with them.
Right. Tracks, you still deal with screws jacking back up out of them and stuff. I mean, the surface doesn't need to be sealed, but it still is all on wood floor joists. And that's what's broken with this snow.
Yeah.
It's the joist hangers to the house that busted. If it's metal and it's all dug down in cement, and it's not hanging on the cabin. It's freestanding from the cabin.
Yeah, well, that's what we need to do with cabin 2, at least. And maybe we can move forward with both of these cabins putting metal decks. What do you think, Ben? Cost wise, can we?
I think so. The only problem is you can get some of that. That stuff that makes them so they're not slick, you know, you can do that spray on stuff.
Is cabin 1 slick? No, it's got expanded metal.
It's a corrugated expanded metal.
It's kind of a 2x4 shaped piece of metal, but then it's rammed up from the bottom, has the spike on it.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is finding the steel like that at Page Steel or somewhere where it would, at a great deal, you know.
It doesn't use IBMs.
If you go out to Page Steel and walk through their scrap pile, and buy it for salvage scrap pile, and you can find.
Right. If you call and say, I want this, you almost just got to go out there and say, no, we could make that and that and that work. We need a couple of I-beams.
Go out there with a flatbed trailer and
try
and bring them back. Hey, speaking of picnic tables, I was going through Northern Tool Catalog, and there's some. Not plastic.
They have rubber over the top of
it. It's kind of a plastic, but you just stick 2x4s in it. There's 2 of them, and then you just kind of piece it together with 2x4s, and it's the full-size 8-foot picnic table. I was looking at picnic tables. They can get kind of spendy. But something that, if a board breaks, which I don't know
about. Well, what about these Bill Hall versions that they made?
Well, I'm just kind of looking at something that I could just kind of put together and
movies.
Yeah, those picnic tables. We'd have to go cut down a tree, hear the wood. Brent loves that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, Brent's happy about that.
I think in the future,
2x4 too. You can at the end of the season take them apart and store them.
Right, right.
A lot of the camps or parks do that too.
And it's just a thought. I think it was less than $100 for a set. But
why don't you get a set and let's check it out.
Yeah, I think testing some of this stuff is a good idea. I'm I'm not a big fan of the plastic stuff. The UV just
any of it that's plastic or even the 2x4. I mean, the thing, get that in the price number of 2x4s enough to put it together, and some of it still to get the metal ones that the parks use here in town that aren't going to collapse in snow and are there, or the stone ones that. that Hanson builds that, you know, you can't pick up and move, you know, but you know, kids aren't going to move around or whatever.
That one at Cabin 2 was already on its way out.
Oh, that thing was done a long time ago. Cinder blocks underneath it and everything.
That's why.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at these cabins, I think Cabin 1 has a couple picnic tables.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Cabin 1, I don't think any of them have tables.
The one on Cabin 2 was made out of, I mean, it's just a real cheap, lightweight tubing.
Yeah.
And push on it, wiggle back and forth 4 times, and you'll fatigue it and snap it. And,
right.
You know, the one we just got to consider what a harsh environment it is up there. We need to make things that are going to last.
Either a fill hall or a stone one or a metal one that is going to be there in all weather.
Right. Well, I think, you know, a stone one where over there by the volleyball set out by the ponds, we kind of need to set up something like that.
And that'll end up under a pavilion or not, or just put it there now and...
Good, but we can't do that work, right?
I have a couple ideas.
Okay, I would suggest a lot of these things are going to be really good discussions for an orderly schedule for our ranch day meeting. So let's try to line those out and get those ideas. And Linda, if you can kind of line it out so that we're not starting at the bottom of the ranch and going to the top and the bottom and the top and the bottom and the top.
I get to
spending all day.
Idea.
Yeah. That
I
would be good.
That.
So
my report's done.
Okay, item 12, unfortunately I haven't made any progress on, so we're still working on it. Item 13, we made great progress on. We got the county to totally avert their plans of doing a zone change. However, if it's temporarily postponed, it will be back. And so I need to work up, and I've started working up a plan to go through and show them how that they could keep the existing zoning that the county has out there for forest recreation. So...
water
next item, letter from Dan Wirt. I received a letter from Dan Wirt, certified letter. He purchased lots 28 and 29 from the LDS Church.
Oh, he did?
Somehow he may have had some impression that those lots did not require annual membership fees. In any case, the basic simple answer to anything is that if you buy a piece of property and you have a title search done and it has a deed restriction on it and that deed restriction requires payment of fees, that's all the evidence, end of story. And that's, I don't know if he did a title search or didn't do a title search, but the deed restrictions are recorded on those lots.
And the LDS Church has been paying them.
Yeah, they have.
Well, and that's what I say. So he asked me to provide documentation on the following items. One, was there ever a board action which exempted the LDS Church from paying on these lots? If so, provide the meeting minutes of the board in which this was decided. So... no, there was never a board action that I know of. I called him. I told him in the years which the LDS Church owned these lots, did anyone pay assessments on them? If so, who paid the assessments on them and provided sufficient documentation to establish that a specific person or persons involved were invoiced and the funds were actually paid for these lots? And
state, what you want for that?
Well, number one, it's not our position to send to somebody else
what somebody else paid.
But they paid their assessments back when Larry Bear was president, and they went through the lawsuit that said that all memberships are tied to lots and so forth. From that time forward, so 10 years ago, they... have been paying the assessments, have been being invoiced for them, and nobody was paying them for them. They paid their own. Prior to the ownership of LDS, did any of these owners pay on these lots assessments to them? As far as I know, were those lots owned by the developer before?
No, they were traded.
So they were traded, but
I
don't know.
To, or,
I don't know the situation there.
28 and 29.
And I'm not sure.
But he's basement back on. Oh, there was a guy who owned two lots originally that were not, that were, you know, somebody that
they were over in Podunk
before the DSR ever existed.
I have seen this since 2002.
Okay.
He traded them somehow, sort of, to the church, but the church, instead of taking the two out in Podunk, took those two in that corner.
All right. I don't know. I mean, I don't have personally the time to go through and respond to
this. I think the only thing is, ever since the lawsuit and Dale's been paying on the unpaid assessment, the board then took pretty immediate action to notify the others that they need to start paying.
Yeah.
She's saying at least 2002 is as far back as our QuickBooks go right now. It, you know, they've been paying for 10 years, and he, I think, was fully aware of that, and if he wasn't, he should have known.
I think he knows
that, you know.
So,
he's trying to get out of it.
Anyway, I think... Well, I don't know what the misunderstanding was, but I would submit this letter to you, Linda, and I've already... Well, I've already responded to him, left him a phone call, and so I think he's got the information. We just record that as being received, so... You know, hopefully it's not an issue where there's a misunderstanding now that I've made the phone call. Other items that need to be discussed? Going once, twice, three times?
How do you want to report on this in the
agenda? I just put down that the letter from Daniel Wirt was read and report from Dirk Clayson given that he... had left a phone message with the information relevant to that, to Mr. Wirt. Well,
cattle guards. There was talk of where we're going to build 2 8-footers, 1 12-footer. And I started looking into prices. Kind of spending for 24 footers, which it gets more expensive if you cut them.
I think you and Ben just need to work that.
Well, I just like, but I'd like to have some discussion with Larry and Brent as far as right now what's our talk, because we have some steel there for some cattle guards.
Uh-huh. And I actually found a stick of 2-inch square tubing
that we could use a spacer.
So I kind of wonder if I could cut that down
into 2-inch pieces, uh-huh, or even 1-inch piece. I mean, it only needs to be that far, and use it as spacers.
Uh-huh.
You see, on top of the I-beam, it's the welding wedges that we don't have and stuff. Tack weld a round one, tack weld in a little square piece, tack weld in a round one. But where are the next places? Going from the upper pond across to the...
Well, we got to fence that off so
right,
cows don't get up by the spring
right
box.
But that's a place for... Where's our top priorities for cattle guards? And they either need to be 12-footers or 2.8 so we can make a 16-footer. But that one going up the ranch, if it's pretty straight road and stuff, then it could be a 12-footer. If it's
right,
something that's on a corner or where we're going to have a lot of big equipment, then we may want to do 2.8s.
Well, I think two priorities for cattle guards. One is the going to be going up to the cabins from the fish ponds because we have a new fence there. And we already have cattle guard on one side. Doesn't make sense that people would drive through the cattle guard and then have to
right
open that up. And the other one is on the main Metal Canyon Road where the
south end of the metal.
South end.
Yeah.
And that probably should be a 16-foot wide.
Yes,
yeah,
for heavy traffic and
yeah,
stuff. But the one going up the cabin would a 12-footer with wing walls, you know, you're still winging out so you don't feel encroached, but you'd have a full 12-foot driving 12 service.
Foot would be fine.
So that's where I think. Out of the stuff we need to do, we need to count and see, out of the round stock, can we build a 12 and 2/8?
Well, and my second one, I wasn't saying up there by the metal. because we don't even have a functional fence along there.
Right.
But we do have a fence. What do we call the fence?
The drift fence.
The drift fence.
The drift fence. Yeah.
Where that's, you know, commonly closed during the year.
Yeah.
And
anything on Meadow Canyon probably needs to be a 12-foot.
In general, for somebody to be able to get from headquarters to the upper cabins without having to open a gate, I think should be the priority.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, being the other cattle guards and stuff to go from them there on up, I think would be a second priority.
Well, there's the drift fence and then the south corner of the meadow.
Right. Well, the thing is the snow melt up where you can count how many feet or how many sticks I have. I have this many 10s and 12s, and you and I can sit down and I'll run numbers and tell you, okay, out of it we can build this much, and let's use them to build the two 16-footers, and we'll buy square stock to build the 12-footer, or depend on how long they are, because that's what we just need to use.
Is all the square stock gone?
I think there's one stick left.
There's one big stick out there.
One big stick
from Metal Mart years ago in his cattle guard.
Right, and there's one stick, and we're going to cut it into 1-inch pieces and use them as spacers to put between the round stuff to keep it from rolling.
Now those 16-footers going on Metal Canyon with all the heavy traffic, Alan Speed's truck, those are going to have to be some beefy cattle guards, like the county puts on the county road.
Have we ever priced them to see what we can just buy?
Yeah, they're kind of a lot.
They're $2,400 a piece.
Well, if you look at, I was looking at almost $2,000 just from.
That thing is the price of the steel, and when we bought that, we got a great deal, you know, and just, you know, got it right.
I bet you can buy them, but then you can build them.
Let me look into it.
Just because the fab shop that's set up and that's all we're doing is building them. There's no way that we can compete with them.
Maybe. You look at how much time it's going to take.
Well, another thing, it was a winter project. So now that we're out of the winter and we got so much snow this year, that we don't have a place where we have a flat floor of cement that you can set up and weld on. And so every time he'd get set up, you'd snow another 2 feet on top of it and stuff. At this point.
That's why we need the gazebo. Huh?
Gazebo.
Pavilion. Well, maybe like Larry says, that the cattle guards on Metal Canyon Road ought to be maybe big commercial grade versus the ones going up to the cabins could maybe be ones that we made ourselves.
Well, the Metal Canyon gets some heavy traffic, whether it be truck traffic or just people pulling it. You know, I mean, you guys come in with your camp trailers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's more than somebody just driving up there in the car, SUV.
Everything the van built before
already is still...
Yeah, the ones the van's built are just as strong, if not stronger,
right,
than the yellow BLM ones. You hit it with the road grader, and you see those yellow ones being up all the time. This stuff is heavier duty, you know, than
anything. I priced them at Metal Mart, and it was $1,700 for square tubing. 24-foot.
You know, if you put them like 8 inches apart, it's cheaper.
You've got to do 60.
Yeah, you.
They do them. I've seen them 8 inches, 6 inches apart.
Right. You've got it across there.
That's all I have.
We pulled a kid out of a cattle guard one time. Some foreign kids are trying to cover the brand head.
Well, I know they're a lot wider than Andrew Bart.
Yeah, his legs went down above his knees. He couldn't get out on his own. We had to send one of our kids underneath to push up.
Yeah.
I'll find out. One of my partner guys, that's all he does in New Mexico. He builds all these BLM Forest Service. And
they
just, that's all they do is build cattle barns.
Okay, let's have some email correspondence on that then so we make some decisions. Okay, anything else?
I have two questions. Can I ask
them? Sure.
Are there going to be horses up there this year?
There is going to be a horse, there's going to be a cattle drive.
But no horses.
And you have to bring your own horse.
Right.
Cattle.
Okay. There will be non-horse up there. Yes.
And ride them.
Yes. Okay. And that is on June the 10th.
Roll for
your
item.
Shannon.
Okay.
Is there horses in the near future?
We're driving. Oh, she would jump on the back.
We and just to clarify, we have no plans for horses anytime in the next 100 years.
100?
So, I'm just saying, we have no plans. So there are no plans. They're not going to magically appear until we decide to make that a priority, which has not been decided.
Well, it's a liability issue. What makes it so difficult?
I just think the whole management of it, the cost of getting them and feeding them, and
so why don't we advertise and have someone come in? I talked to a guy 3 days ago when I told him about it. He said, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, sign me up." Would do that.
As a concessionaire. Well, I mean, that's the only discussion is if,
yeah,
if we,
I think that's great,
contracted out.
Have them have the insurance and everything, yeah. And if someone wants to drive, bring them in.
Mel or Jeff Allen or somebody who has them, maybe if they only come up and they trailer them in and they're just there one day a week. They come in on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Well, because they can come in.
Well, he's running
one day and somewhere
else. He's running rides 7 days a week at the North Rim and up on Cedar Mountain. And so if...
And over at Zion.
And in Zion, you know, so he's got 100 head running.
Can we put that in some correspondence saying this is available if you want a horse ride when you're here, don't be disappointed that we don't have horses.
Well, call ahead and
yeah,
I can set something
up.
But I've had a lot of complaints, you know, that still on the website, it's still on there. Horse rides.
I send people over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing a group up this summer and they want to ride horses, and I said, they'll need to.
I have a whole book of places real close that do horse rides.
Okay.
Not Deer Springs.
I also have a bunch of teenagers that are looking for work, so if there's work to be done, they are willing to come up for the summer and work.
Oh, boy.
Where I live, there's so much, all the entry-level jobs are taken by adults that need low-income jobs.
So are they expecting to get paid?
just coordinate with Paul on what...
Are they expecting to get paid? That's it.
Well, that's...
They're
looking for summer
jobs. Yeah.
They're looking for summer work, but it's minimal pay.
Like food and board?
Food and board, I think... some of them worked last year for $100 a week. So I don't know.
That's pretty minimal pay.
Yeah. And they were
16
hours.
I mean, we have to talk about
days.
That.
Right? I think the difference between
got to
come up with a policy to look at what other people are paying, what we could afford,
right.
Where we would house them, and say, this is what. I think that if we had a plan, no matter what we offered, and we were consistent with it, it was legal, and we could, you know, feed them and board them and all that stuff. Whatever.
I
think it's filthy.
Right. I don't have a problem feeding and boarding. I mean, if we have room, but you know, it's something we'd have to budget for in the future.
Well, that
I think it'd be great.
I have kids that I don't know if you know, but I have a bunch of boys, and we've gone and worked at different camps. Last year we worked for Dale for 3 weeks, and then now my kids' friends are finding out that we're working up here. So they're the ones asking, where are you working this summer? Can we go with you?
Right.
And there's just no job available for teenagers.
Right.
And I would be willing to, you know, I always go with the kids and do the cook and bottle wash and
I'd love to do that.
Supervise them,
right.
Make sure they're working and not pooping off.
I'm not seeing anything about horses on here.
But that, you know, if you
ditch
digging, fencing, brush
hogging,
whatever.
Yeah.
I would say, as anybody runs into a concessionaire that has horses, please encourage them to seek us out. We'd love to do it. I would be totally blown away and surprised if anybody could actually make enough money at it that they would actually do it.
That's a good
but
point.
If they,
you live
if they,
and you have horses already,
there's
if they want to do it,
and a lot of people come up there.
That's great.
Not a lot of people go up there to ride.
Right.
Are you pretty much done? Ready to hit the road? Sneak out.
Going once, twice.
I move that we
before you quit. I wanted to update you. Just real quick, I already told you about the cabin deck.
Yeah.
Water. Did you? You? I see you tracked. You looked at that windmill. It did jump.
Yeah,
what
it
I think
did.
Happened is there was a big snow drift, and water came down.
I just saw leaves, and that tree was kind of laying in there.
I think it was snow, and so it. Water has come down Middle Canyon.
Check. Hey, here's the question: when your backhoe's done, can you get it fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we need.
We discussed it for 20 minutes already.
Second thing, can you get an invoice to us for what you've done so far to date up to at least April 1st? Because you've been doing snow stuff all winter based on or figure out with Dirk what we're doing as far as...
DSROA stuff, really all I've done so far this year is snow removal and trying to fix up our
Right. Paul had already reported that what you've done has been way valuable, the ranch stuff, but we just don't want to get too far in. You know, we budgeted some money specifically for you as a consultant slash ditch digger slash
digger with a hand.
Yeah. so just that, you know, if once a month we can have a write up invoice where we can start getting you some money, but also the you know it's either got to be your small grader or your backhoe to rebuild that ditch. Because what rains come in April and May, we want to go in Half Moon, and right now it's not. And the big grader is probably too big, and it's going to make a mess. And
it's a good base all over, and it's taught us a lot of things. There's some issues with the actual diversion of Middle Canyon that feeds Half Moon. I kept thinking, boy, we should have had more water, so I went and looked at it, and there's actually a hole down underneath through one of those car bodies. So part of our water went on down Middle Canyon. Part of it went down the ditch and then hit the snow drift and out across the field. Not enough to cause damage, no big concern.
Is it enough? Will it be worth just things like that if one of these trips we get Alan Seed to take one more load of clay and dig a dump, one semi-load, you know, big load like by the gravel pit or somewhere where you could just take a couple 5-gallon buckets and dump down that hole and stuff.
There's
that would
a load
swell.
That they actually dumped
we
at the Scoot 'n Paw Ranch.
Yeah, there's one load of Scoot 'n Paw that I don't know why or how they ended up dumping it there.
I think the pup blew fly.
I'm in the process of redoing my little orange
gallon
truck. And there's a pretty good pile left there at the Crawford Middle Canyon Junction.
Now, maybe some of that we could pack with the backhoe because a little bit of the backhoe, you know, dumped down and pounded down in there.
Did you get the pictures of the hidden reservoir?
And I went up. I actually wandered in there yesterday.
It's down. I mean, it was down around yesterday. I mean,
yeah, it was down from the pictures, but it's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. But
is it holding water?
No.
Oh.
No, it's leaking out. That's the bad thing. But it's still pretty impressive how much water was in there.
My only other question was, I talked with Brent a little bit about the grading, and I didn't know, is there separate money, is there road money, and money for me to do these little things, bang for
yeah,
it,
we
that
did.
All the same?
No, we budgeted money in the projects for you to do projects, and then we also budgeted $5,000 for
contract
operator,
right.
Like we had Meltzer doing before, for
right.
You mainly to help.
Well, what
again, we
do,
want Paul doing a lot of it, but some of that stuff. Where timing's so critical, and as things start drying out and he's going to be getting water systems, we want you to run the grader as much as you can during the prime time to get stuff tuned up.
Okay. I will do that, and then whenever I use my little grader, which I do that simply because I can grade probably 2-3, maybe even a month ahead of any time you can get on it with the John Deere because of weight.
I think the only thing we want to know is broke out. This is grader operator. Whether you're operating the ranch grader, if that's best, or billing more or whatever for using your grader versus projects. Even like this ditch is kind of a project that we've been working on because that's how we have it budgeted.
Right. The problem is we're going to be tight this year, so we just need to get work done, bill paid. Okay, now how much more do we have left? Okay. We can do this next project. Or
I got him to agree to $1.50 an hour when you're using our grader and $3 an hour when you're using your grader.
I'd like to pay you for grading that snow off because I think ultimately it's going to save the road in the long run.
Did anybody see a folder that I thought I put on this table that was kind of a... Yeah.
I am also probably going to go ahead and move my grader and not block Broad Hollow anymore. I mean, we're, the road's in... And as soon as the Broad Hollow goo pile is fixed, after that I'll move it up and block it off up probably at the Crawford turnoff.
Yeah. The goo pile. It's nicknamed the goo pile.
I was halfway tempted to try to drive through yesterday with my truck, and then I thought...
I didn't even take it through the rhino.
What are you going to do? Well, I think I know older, and there's still a spot.
Vanilla. Just, yeah, it's not under here.
I mean, if you look on the right side, the ditch is really deep out. I think the water.
It's a file folder, not an envelope.
Well, Larry, I'm going to go. What I'm going to do is most of those trees are in the fence, and they're we don't need that fence there,
so they can see.
So I didn't have anything with me to tear the fence out the other day. So I'm going to just start working on tearing that fence out and then cutting those trees out.
This is mine.
You know, that'll help a lot.
Okay. Any other items?
No, I make a motion that we cease.
We have to go into executive session for the to discuss some of the past due items.
Okay.
Do you are you going to your office? Don't you have a Vance Green Deer Springs map, Dirk?
Yeah, he does.
Grab one.
I still want to.
Okay, are we ready to terminate the?
We need a second.
I second the motion to go into executive session and dismiss.
All in favor? That was Dirk.
Aye.
Aye.